The Drew and Mike Show is in the DealsInTheD.com studios following a very exciting ushering in of the Daryl Bevel era.
That was great, man.
The Lions come back from 10 points down to win a football game for the first time since 2014.
How hilarious is that stat?
I know, I was laughing a lot at the end of this game because it was just so incredible that they would pull this one out of their ass after all the games they've given away the last 2.5 years.
They did something I don't think I've seen them do in the Matt Patricia era, and that was get a stop when they needed it. And not only did they get a stop, they got the turnover.
That was, you know, honestly, thinking back the last 20 years or so, I can't think of many bigger defensive plays. Now, it's not the biggest game, probably, because they would have to win. Did they have to win out to make the playoffs? Could they win 3 or 4?
Most likely. I think right now, they're 2 games back, Brandon? Isn't that what we decided, 5 minutes ago?
Somewhere around there, yeah. But they got a tough schedule. They're not going to beat the Packers. They might, but I mean, and then the Titans.
Okay, but could they go 8-8 and make the playoffs?
8-8? I don't think so. There's too many teams there. Although they do have the tiebreaker over here, like Arizona and
hey, they're
Atlanta.
On the bubble.
It's the Daryl Bevel era. Anything can happen. Anything.
You got to admit.
I'm not discounting them yet.
In all seriousness, that first half was a lot of the same bullshit.
It was.
That second half, totally different team, man.
No, I thought they played okay. They really did. But they made the big plays. That was a difference.
Yeah. And no quarterback is better against prevent defense than Matthew Stafford.
I don't even really, stats are stats. I remember when Calvin broke the record, people said, so much of it was late in the game.
Yeah, me.
The numbers are the numbers.
I know.
And granted, you may have an advantage here, an advantage there, if your team is down a lot, or and they weren't a very good team, but he still caught all those balls.
I used many stats.
I know. He's good.
And the Daryl Bevel era, I got to tell you, I don't know why I'm so excited. I couldn't get excited all year. I hate Matt Patricia. I hate him. And I was angry when they beat Atlanta because I didn't think they deserved to win. Today, I'm so pumped.
That was an entertaining game, man.
It was really exciting. Fun. This I will say, because I think there's a good possibility this is the end of the Matt Stafford era. I've enjoyed watching them, even through all the tough losses and all the under 500 years. I've enjoyed watching the Lions every Sunday. They've been entertaining. I mean, in defeat,
usually for
most
the wrong
of the time.
Reasons, but yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I mean, when there was 4:33 left and they had the ball on their own 2-yard line, yeah. I texted Danny, my buddy in Chicago. I said, 4:33 is a lot of time for Matt Stafford. And he was kind of laughing about it, but hey, look what happened.
That was great. What a fun
that big
team.
Turnover. Yeah, so they're 5-7. They got the Packers
best
at home.
Best freaking team in all the land. Woohoo!
I can't believe I actually looked at the schedule. I haven't done that all year.
Yeah.
Let's see. I can win this one. I lose that one. They win this. This.
They're going to lose these last 4 games. So
that's what
come on. Couldn't they beat the Packers at home? Maybe.
No, I doubt it.
They were up 14 on him first time.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is on a tear this year. He's pissed off about that draft that the Packers had last year because they're already looking to replace him. This whole season, it's just him and whatever Devontae Adams want to do around there.
Yep.
With their 8-3, why would they want to replace him?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they want to replace him now, but, they're looking 3 years down the road.
Well, wait, so...
Hey, it worked last time.
You made it sound like he was mad, Brandon.
He was pissed. He was very
pissed. He's fucking mad.
He's let it been known that he was not happy with that draft pick.
They've never given him an offensive weapon. They've never drafted him a first-round offensive
weapon. Who did they draft? I'm totally lost on this story.
The quarterback.
Who?
I forget his
Love.
Name. Yeah.
From?
Was it Kansas State or Kansas?
I never heard of him.
Was it a first-round pick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jordan Love?
Yeah, there you go.
I remember the name. I just didn't remember him being the,
he was
a couple
with
of
Utah
guys ahead
State.
Of him.
That was way off.
Well, anyway, I mean, is that really bad to have the 36-year-old quarterback kind of fired up?
Well, I always thought it was
like it.
A little weird that he would whine about that, considering he was drafted, fell in the draft, was drafted to replace Brett Favre.
Yeah.
He's basically doing what Favre did. did.
Well, they are 8-3, so things are going pretty well for them. Then we got to face the Titans on the road. They're 8-3.
Yeah.
The Bucs at home with Tom Brady on the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
That's a pretty compelling matchup if they win one of the
next. Tom Brady had a pretty good game the other night, right?
If they win the next two or they win one of the next two, that could be very interesting.
They'll lose them all.
And then, hey, this is the Daryl Bevel era.
Right. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
It's crazy.
I think interim coaching is exciting.
It is. There is.
You could do anything. Nobody's going to really hold it against you.
Full disclosure, I put money on the line simply because they had the interim coach. I call it the.
You're excited about the Daryl Bevel era.
The Romy and Crennel effect, because look at how well Houston has played since they blew up Bill O'Brien.
What's Crennel's record?
God, I don't know. Well, they destroyed the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. So,
anyway, the Packers at home, the Titans on the road, the Bucks at home, and then the Vikings at home.
Yeah.
I mean, they should be in all those games. Will the Daryl Bevel era be the difference maker?
Maybe he'll get the job. He'll coach his way to a permanent job.
Always that possibility. Jeez. You know, I wouldn't mind, because honestly, if it goes badly the first year, you just move on. You go, hey, he's the interim guy, so we're moving on. But what if he is the guy? I mean, what if he wins 4 out of 5 here or something, and he looks like the guy? I think you want to give him a shot, right? Maybe.
Didn't we get a GM first who can decide which coach they want?
It's a tricky thing.
The GM can come in and go, well, let's see how Daryl Bevel does for 1 year, not 2 years, 1 year, and then he makes the call.
Exactly, so it's just excuse city. What happens is...
It builds an excuse for your first year, just like Quinn had it.
Yeah, already did that. That's dumb.
Well, but Caldwell did okay. I mean, he could have kept him.
I know, but you would think that the new guy will want his guy anyway, so just give it to him now.
What if Bevel goes somewhere else on the Daryl Bevel era takes off in Houston?
Why don't they make Daryl Bevel the GM? So stupid. He's 50. He's too old to be an NFL.
Is there a lot of love for Daryl Bevel? I really don't know.
Yeah, that was always the story with Stafford.
Stafford loves him.
He really does like him, but he's been, you know. More importantly, the players hated Matt Patricia. Just hated him with a passion. There's someone I know covers the Lions that told us that.
Oh, really? The players really?
He really loved, well, you know what I'm talking about, but they really lost the locker room.
Well, Stafford today was 27-42 for 402. Three touchdowns. Well, that one pick, though. Oh, man. Matt Stafford. He is making
a great defensive play, though.
But he put the ball right in his hands.
Yeah.
Stafford has made too many of those mistakes this year, in my opinion. But it didn't matter. It's the Daryl Bevel era, and anything can happen.
Yeah, anything in the DBE.
And then you got Aquara makes that big strip. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And AP rolls in from 5 yards out.
Mitchell Trubisky. Talk about regressing to the mean during a game.
Yeah, he did.
He was playing really well until like the last 4 or 5 drives.
His numbers were pretty good on the day. They put up 30 points. I mean, their defense didn't have to completely collapse on that previous drive.
The Lions' defense is garbage.
They're pretty bad.
But hey, they made a play when they needed to, man.
They did. The 5-7 Lions. I'm excited, man. I tell you, the Daryl Bevel era, I don't know if I've said it. I think anything can happen. I really do. I am so on this thing. It's almost like Joik Bell's back on the team for me.
Yeah, your favorite player ever.
Love Joik. I'm trying to think. I got a new favorite player, kind of, sort of.
Ooh, I want to hear this.
Well, I really like the Khalil Herbert, the running back of Virginia Tech.
I'm really
pumped for him. I think he's really good. He should be a Heisman candidate. Except he's had a couple injuries, so he's missed about a game.
Never heard of him, next.
Oh, come on, he's missed a game and a half. His yards per carry is like 8 yards.
Yeah.
He's got 1,000 yards rushing. He's got 10 catches for an 18-yard average.
Oh, my God, you're in your own cult now.
And his kickoff returns, he's got like 400 yards in kickoff returns, 28-yard average. He's got the most
yardage.
You're
in the cult, bro!
But he plays at Virginia Tech. It's going to be someone from a... You know, one of the playoff teams.
Oh, I see. So certain schools aren't eligible.
Tremendous school.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's crap.
I'm not saying
he should win it. I'm just saying he should be considered.
You know, the Heisman Trophy is what? For the best college athlete, NFL, or what is it, college athlete football player?
I think Sarah Fuller's going to win it this year.
Oh, yeah, she's earned it.
Oh, I bet you she gets a vote. Do you think she'll get a vote?
Yes. She'll get a vote.
Yes,
yeah.
She will.
Do you really think so? Someone's going to like, because they do it. Well, don't they do top 5?
What if she's in New York? She's like,
no,
finalist.
I mean, Okay. Somebody will give her, right, a fifth place vote.
Well, I tell you, bad topic. I almost wish you hadn't brought it up.
Good job, Brandon.
If I see hashtag play like a girl again, I'm going to be sick. Because what does hashtag play like a girl mean? What? Tell me. Can you guys tell me?
Well, I think it's just flipping it on, you know, you throw like a girl, or you do this like a girl. And so now it's like, look how powerful these girls are.
Yeah, we own it now. Yeah. That's our saying now.
You play ball like a girl.
You're right. They own it now. It's just like taking back queer.
Okay, you know what? If she kicked the ball out of the end zone, maybe I'd accept that. But when somebody dribbles a squib kick and then says, hey, yeah, hashtag play like a girl, it's like, aren't we pretending? Isn't this like the kid that has the swinging button tee ball, the kid that can't hit the ball, who literally strikes out with a ball on a tee and finally hits one, a swinging button? Everybody goes, oh my God, what a great hit!
Well, wouldn't it be, she didn't break any barrier. You know, like she wasn't trying to get on a team and then finally that barrier broke, or you know, Vanderbilt wasn't allowing women on the team.
No, I don't really hold this against Sarah Foley either. She was a great soccer player.
The response is ridiculous.
Did you see the article by Andrea Edelson from ESPN?
Enlighten me.
I'm just going to read you the first three paragraphs. They're very short paragraphs. College football Saturdays in the middle of a pandemic have tended to all run together, but the morning started differently last weekend. Over breakfast, I told my two daughters that Sarah Fuller had a chance to make history at Vanderbilt. I did not have to explain why. Their eyes went wide. In between bites of her French toast, my 9-year-old daughter started chanting.
No, she didn't.
I want to see her story.
A forensic account, please.
Oh, not history, but her
story. Not history.
Her story.
Her story.
Okay, that's not a chant. It's not a chant.
And that didn't happen.
I'm going to hire a forensic account for this. I'm so pissed.
That didn't happen.
I think Andrea Edelson wound up on Woke Kids.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
Okay, is there more?
Well, I mean, there's a whole story about it. I stopped after those sentences.
Okay, no, that was three paragraphs. Anyway, this whole play like a girl thing, hashtag, it's so silly because why do we have to exaggerate how good it was? I mean, it was cool. She was not a football player. She didn't ask for this.
No, they asked her. That's great.
So then to imply that somehow she did something great when she squibbed the ball 30 yards and it would have gone out of bounds, by the way, if the other team had let it. Why do we have to pretend it was a great kick?
Are you saying you don't think she should have planted the sword of honor before the Titans-Browns game in Nashville today?
What?
Yeah, she planted the sword of honor. Before the Titans-Browns game. Do you think she dressed down the Titans at halftime because they got their asses kicked in the first half?
Oh, boy. You know, it also is not her fault.
Let's run it again. Let's go.
People love that drop.
Yeah. There she is at the Titans game.
It's not her fault that she was co-special teams player of the week either. That was... That's a media thing. This is the media just having a field day with us.
My problem is really not even with her, other than the fact that she dressed the team down at halftime when she's just a new person.
Which no one will talk about. No one will address that. It's so absolutely out of this world awkward that no one can even discuss it, because you can't possibly be a person in the orbit of sports and say, wow, that is so cool what she did. Because it's crazy. Mm. It's absolutely nuts. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. She could have, but, you know, honestly, in that position, Sarah Fuller, it's like if she had whiffed on the kick, they would say, oh, she meant to whiff. She was trying to pull them off sides or something.
Yeah. Hello. She did a squib kick, and they're saying she meant to squib kick. That was not meant to squib kick. There,
why would
no
you squib kick anyway?
In the history of football, would you want to squib kick that?
I just don't want to pretend. That's all. You know, and as far as the halftime speech,
tell you what, she's a better squib kicker than was that the Raiders today that they scored against Cincinnati at the very end, but there's 12 seconds left, so they went to squib it and they drilled it right at the guy in the front line who caught it and gave Cincinnati a chance to kick the field goal. So maybe she's onto something.
I'm trying to imagine an intern or a new hire 4 days into the show calling everyone out.
Well, any team.
How stupid that would be. It'd be just so wildly inappropriate.
And then the manager going, I've always wanted to do that. Thank you for doing that for me. Thank
yeah, you guys are lifting up this person, Mark and Brandon. Wow, I've been dying to say that.
Yeah. Someone at the Bulls.
It's wildly, wildly inappropriate. It's crazy. It's a power grab that you don't have the power to grab. But it seems that because the media loves the story so
misogyny.
Much. She could have made out with a head coach at halftime in front of his wife, and people would say it was okay. It was good.
That would be history-making.
No, we've been wanting someone to do that. I'm so glad you went in there and made out with him.
One of the assistant coaches, I've always wanted to make out with Coach Mason. I'm just so glad you did it.
Calling out a team you've been on for 4 days. 4 days in the sport for not cheering loud enough.
Good for her, man. I'm glad she's... But it's the reaction to it.
It defines an approach.
You're as good as any man.
But no one can say anything. I did see one article was, what's the thing Michael Wilbon's on now?
Pardon the interruption?
No, the new journalism thing. Is it Loudwire, maybe?
Oh, I have no idea. That's the thing I didn't know that existed.
Existed. It's the only place I've seen anyone call this what it was. And I don't think they were even uncomplimentary. The girl was a soccer player. She's a great soccer player, a goalie on an award-winning team. And they asked her to do this, and she did what she was asked to do. Well, she wasn't asked to do a squib kick. But you know, beside the point, I really don't blame her for this. It's the reaction that is just so crazy. And their point was that in a matter of really a half an hour, she proved exactly why women should not be playing football by making the halftime speech. That she was so absolutely completely out of touch with the male psyche in football.
The other update was that there were players on the sidelines that had tears in their eyes when she was kicking.
Is that real? Come on.
Well, I mean, the story's real. I don't think that
they were really crying.
There were tears in their eyes.
Probably. Yeah, they were upset about the field position that they put her in.
Well, the opponent was upset that they actually didn't let it go out of bounds. So they might have been crying. You know, that's really weird. When I saw that Mike Wright, the Vanderbilt quarterback, who I immediately respected a lot less after I heard this, he was tearing up and other players were tearing up. And they said, actually, it was the quarterback that said, she redefined what it means to play like a girl. I'm like, what?
By the way, that's been out there before. This is whatever. Great.
And what did she redefine? You mean when she ran off the field after kicking it so no one could hit her? Was
the
that redefining?
Coach got fired 20 minutes after her legendary game. Wouldn't they at least keep the coach around for making such a great decision to put her in?
I'm still more impressed by Katie Nida, who did this back in the late 90s. But just because
who watched the game with the
it was crying.
It was crying.
She was moved to tears because she was watching.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Why is everyone so soft?
But honestly,
what's going on?
Just because it's Vanderbilt in 2020 and not New Mexico or New Mexico State, no one even knows, in the late 90s. I mean, which is a bigger accomplishment?
Why didn't Katie Hinaida get more credit?
I don't remember her
being. Did she make a halftime speech?
Was she Mountain West Player of the Week? Were there tears in anyone's eyes there? No.
When I hear this stuff, though, I saw Mike Wright, the Vanderbilt quarterback. He's a black guy. I guess he's a good player. He's a quarterback. He's got to be a pretty good player. I'm thinking, is there something wrong with me because I'm not crying? Because it seems like everyone else is crying and everyone's all emotional and everyone's just like, this is the greatest thing.
I think if you were to canvas a bunch of people, most would be rolling their eyes.
I feel like
as
that.
As opposed to drying them.
But I don't know if I'm wrong because I keep hearing how incredible, groundbreaking, and, you know, it was a great kick and she wants to kick a field goal. And, you know, they make it sound like, hey, women are going to be head coaches at Division I schools pretty soon. And they're going to be wide receivers and quarterbacks and running backs.
It's different, but yeah.
No way. It's not that. But it's like
this barrier, the glass ceiling's been broken. Yeah. By Nida. I think maybe I'm just too pro Katie Nida.
That's a distraction. I mean, has a glass ceiling really been broken? Is this going to mean women are going to suddenly flood into Division I football?
That's kind of what I was saying. What barrier was broken here? Was she trying to play and no one would let her? No, they needed her in a time of emergency, which is fine. Okay. That's great. That's wonderful.
Timeout. Did they really need her?
No.
Well, not squibbing it was
the
plan.
I think I could have squibbed that kick. I do. I really believe
it could have got Joey Marasol's brother. He can. We know he can hit 50 yarders.
He made a 40 yarder at Wayne State, didn't he?
Yeah. He made one.
Was he asked to play for Vanderbilt? Brandon, I don't think so.
You just said he made it at Ford Field, too, right?
Well, he did one of the, I think he schemed his way into one of those competitions where, like,
brilliant, I tell you.
The halftime thing?
Yeah, like, if you're like, hey, however far, for every yard, you get X amount of dollars.
Wait, Joey Marasso's brother did that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he won the prize. He fucking nailed it.
He crushed it.
Is there a video of that?
they were expecting like a 10-yarder like most people do because they think, oh, this is going to be easy. I'll kick this ball far and it doesn't go anywhere. But this is a guy who played collegiate football and he just crushed it.
All right, let me ask you this. So the reaction that Sarah Fuller got, do you think the reaction would be equal or different if, say, a 60-year-old white man joined the team just to kick for the day and squibbed it? I don't know what the oldest person ever played college football would be. But let's say you broke
the 6-year-old was like the best kickball player in the entire
6D. Like, oh, say, 6D. Say it's an older white guy. Breaks the record for the oldest player to ever kick in a Power 5 game.
I don't think it'd be as big a deal because I think people think that the glass ceiling has been broken, that now women can all play college football.
This is the glass ceiling for the aged.
It'd be in the if it was a 60-year-old chick, I mean, the world would implode.
Aside from that, let's just say it was an old lady, because you said you could have done what she did.
Oh, no, you're
right. That's my grandson!
I don't think I'd be co-special teams player of the week. Which is bullshit.
I'm
already pissed about it, and I didn't even win it. Not win it, I mean. Royal Oak's offering their matching dollars for your gift certificate dollars, and people are really taking advantage of this, and it's great for Royal Oak. It's great for the local economy. We don't hear about many things that are great for the economy, but this has been really good. $10, $30, $50, and they match half of it. If it's $30, you get an extra $15. If it's $50, you get an extra $25. You guys are figuring it out because you're doing it. You're going to visit royaloak.com, and you're buying these gift certificates, and not only that, you're spending them. Did you see the thing over the weekend, the Yifty?
You know what? I don't know if Matt sent them over.
Boy, they were doing some great numbers. They're so happy. The merchants there are just delighted. And I guess there's some other localities that are looking at doing the same thing, which I think is fantastic. Somebody's got to do something. I mean, did I hear they're talking about a surplus more extensively now?
A surplus?
They didn't just like pass a surplus and I missed it, did they?
Oh, you mean
a surplus. A stimulus.
Stimulus.
Yeah.
Well, they have that agreement for one, but there's no stimulus checks or anything.
Oh, so they're... Is it 500 billion or 500?
It was almost a trillion. I thought it was 900. I don't know where that's changed.
Oh, and that's a done deal.
Well, it's got the House has to get their grubby hands all over it.
Okay, it's not a done deal.
I'll look it up while you read that.
Ask them to slow down, too, because there's no hurry.
It really sounds like they're going to get it done.
Well, I'm glad for that. I am glad for that. I'm going to be so mad when they start acting like they did something great. Because
oh, I know. Well,
months late.
Already happening.
Is that already happening, really? Are they blowing themselves?
Well, yeah, they are, yeah.
Damn, I knew they would. Oh, boy. Go to visit RoyalOak.com, and you can do your part to pump money into the economy and make some money yourself. Again, 50% match. You can get a maximum purchase of $300 in gift certificates in Royal Oak, and that'll never expire. Now, your $150 match on that, you got 6 months to spend that. But it's a great deal. It's worked out so well. And... they're so happy with us, the Downtown Development Authority. We're friends now. They love our audience.
We love them.
Our audience is good commerce. Boy, we are good commerce.
You love me?
It's a great thing to be these days. Zodford and Holly's back. And, boy, we need to make some good commerce there, too, because they're offering 0% financing for 60 months and up to $6,000 back in your pocket, the Black Friday deal. Yeah, it's a great deal. Get a brand-new car, get 0% financing. Up to 60 months. I mean, that's just crazy. And $6,000 back in your pocket. So you can just keep the money, buy gifts, pay bills, just have some walking around cash. You can get robbed. Do whatever you want.
Get robbed.
I mean, you can get robbed and it'll sound like you're a big shot.
You can make it rain.
You can make it rain. Exactly. Wow, that's a great idea. Because it doesn't seem like real money when someone just hands you money like
God,
that.
No.
Up to $6,000. 0% financing. What a great deal. What a great way to use your money. I mean, Luke Nowacki would be so proud of you for using their money for 60 months.
$4,000.
And then give Luke the $6,000 and have him invest it for
double
you.
Double it.
Yeah, in 5 years, who knows where you'll be. Like, do you like the way I weaved another advertiser into the
end? Brilliant.
That was pretty good. Yeah. And you can get the all-new loaded 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4 while supplies last. It's those $216 a month and 0% financing. Or the 2021 Ford Bronco Sport, just over $300 a month. Our friends at Zodford are back with their Black Friday sales event. You can get all the details and Explorer, their massive inventory at dealsnitty.com.
Think about taking all that money and giving it to Luke, and all the money you save when you refinance with David Hall and give that to Luke.
You know, I'm serious.
Might not even have to work next year.
It's actually a really good idea.
Take all that extra money.
I mean, if anyone was that disciplined, it's insane to imagine anyone being disciplined like that. but yeah, speaking of All Financial, do we have anything for the All Financial hotline today? We had a great week on the hotline last week.
It's kind of late, but there's a story. I just love this story, too. There's a guy who was adopted, and he goes through Ancestry.com, finds his birth father. He lives overseas, has him come in, pays for him to fly in, meets him at the airport. But this guy thought it'd be cool to dress up like Buddy the Elf. You've seen the movie Elf, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You remember the plot? He goes to find his real dad. And so he sings that song.
I don't think I saw that movie. Is that movie worth seeing?
Oh, Elf is good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. You don't like it?
It's okay. I think it gets. Maybe it's just because it gets played a little too much in my household.
But what if you've never seen it before?
Oh, it's worth seeing at least once. It's a good for Christmas. Yeah.
It's weird hearing Brandon come down on a movie.
No, it's okay. I guess I've seen it too many times, but. But continuing on to the story, I think.
Well, Will Ferrell's in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's. I still think. I don't know if.
So the guy dressed up.
He dressed up like Elf. Funny. With the sign and sang the song to his biological dad, which is very nice.
I keep.
Except for the fact that his biological dad had never seen the movie and didn't know what the fuck was going on.
And he's not from the country. To me, this is just a guy who wanted to do something and get internet points. He wanted to put it on social media and say, make me viral. That's all he did.
That's even funnier in a way.
I think you're right, Brandon, because his wife is the one that posted. Like, there's the picture of him with the sign that says dad and him holding it. But his dad's like, I don't know what this fucking movie is.
Yeah, he thinks his kid's a real twit. What is this stupid fucking kid I contributed
to? I'm glad I came away.
Yeah, thank God I haven't had to live with him.
But since that, and he's been staying with the family, they have all watched Elf together. And the biological
Death
dad
sucked.
Probably sheepishly he had to pretend that he liked it.
Right.
You know, and halfway through the movie,
you can learn from
said,
the Katie Ford fans.
Did it?
Elf, 84% Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, 79% from the audience.
Not bad. What country was this guy from?
You know what? It says in there. It says in the story.
Venezuela?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, how can you assume somebody in Venezuela would have seen Elf? Elf.
I think Brandon's right. I think it was for internet clout.
Mm-hmm.
But does a kid look a little like a fat Andy Samberg, by the way?
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
Kind of does.
Oh, totally.
That weird.
That story cracks me up, though.
Well, Hall Financial will come up with a mortgage rate, and they are doing this for so many people, below 3%. That's insane. Somebody asked me, do you think they could help me? I got a 3.8. It's like, oh, my God, if your credit is even in the ballpark, they could help you. Like crazy they could help you. Somebody's saving, I think it's $270 a month I got an email from, which I sent to David Hall. I'm so happy. Somebody else was having a couple wrinkles. I sent that to David Hall, and he said, I want to make this happen. Nice. It's a challenge. So, yeah, they're really trying to help our people. Rates are in the twos.
I have an extra $250 in my paycheck.
How about that? Rates in the twos, and the appraisal is free. Now, this is supposed to end in November, but no! They're offering the appraisals, free appraisals, up to $500. Now, the only reason I say this is because occasionally one goes over, and they just have to cover that. But who knows? If you bitched enough, these people at Hall Financial want to make our people happy. Call them today. Find out you can start saving or go to our new landing page, DrewAndMikeHF.com, to get started. That's DrewAndMikeHF.com. They're closing in 10 business days or less. Somebody said they brought the average down. They said, I got down in 8 business days. Very proud of that. DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike, 248-308-5000, NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention.
Regarding the stimulus and money, more people are being outed for receiving the PPP. The Payroll Protection Program, including Tom Brady and TB12 Incorporated.
What?
Got nearly $1 million in PPP loans.
What?
$960,000.
How big is this company?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't think it was that big. So I don't know if that magical, his body man, is this just money for his body man?
Oh, God, his body man.
Because he gets a salary?
Household net worth is $600 million.
Yeah, but that has...
No, it really... It should matter, but it doesn't.
You're right.
No, it should matter. I mean, Tom Brady, if this was ever brought up to him, which it probably wasn't...
He'd be horrified.
Yeah, I would hope that he would say, are you... And I'm sure... Are they returning the money?
I don't know if anybody's asked Tom that. He's just avoiding any phone calls about it.
Oh, man.
The other entity that received money that everyone's pissed off about is Scientology, the Church of Scientology.
Oh, that pisses me off. And they won't have any qualms about it. They will have no qualms. Am I correct?
No, no, not at all. But I know a lot of people were mad when it originally happened because some churches received the money and they're not.
What the fuck?
Well, but they still have employees, right? Isn't the point to keep their employees going?
Boy, that's a tough one.
It is tough because they are nonprofit. They don't pay taxes. But at the same time, if the idea is to...
They also are nonprofit. They don't pay taxes. So they should be in a better position.
But the idea is to protect the payroll, right?
You know, I'm so, and I've had people complain about this, that I rip on churches too much. I am so exhausted by the terrible stories I read. Like this Hillsong story just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, this guy, these celebrity pastors who are influencers. Yeah. And this guy, Carl Lentz, who's Justin Bieber's best friend. And he baptized him. And he brought him out of this terrible mess he was in, even though Bieber's unfollowed him on Instagram.
What an
insult. Oh. That's the worst thing you do to your pastor is unfollow him on Instagram.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Why is your pastor on Instagram to begin with?
Because at Hillsong,
Butt Slam!
They're influencers. I got so mad reading the story, and I wish that we could have some sort of a movement. It can be grassroots. We could have a petition on change.org and really get it going to stop this whole prosperity gospel. I think it's bullshit. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with people being successful, and I hate the denigration of success. But this idea that, hey, we agree with the prosperity gospel, and that's why me, your local pastor, I'm a millionaire because of your donations and because we have VIP areas in our church for people that give big dough so they can be in front. And that whole...
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Did you read the story I read? Are you on the page, same page with me?
The New York Times one?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I also don't believe he can dunk a basketball.
Carl Lentz claims he can dunk a basketball.
Yeah. Did you know he allegedly played basketball at North Carolina State?
Okay. I got to go to College Reference and find out.
So it says...
I already don't believe it.
In 2017, when him and Biebs got super tight, that's when there were fixtures on TMZ, and it says TMZ got their hands on some video of Mr. Lentz dunking a basketball in what appeared to be a near-empty gym.
Do we know the basket was 10 feet?
Oh, great point, Drew. And was it a men's ball or was it one of those small?
The ball don't lie.
Probably volleyball.
I also didn't know that Hillsong has won a Grammy.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
For their song, Oceans, Where My Feet May Fail.
Oh, Carl Lentz, he was on the NC State roster.
Did he play a lot?
No.
How tall? Does it say how tall he is?
Let's see. He's got to be up here at the top. 6'3".
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's taller than I thought, but still, I don't think
he's a guard. He played in 9 games in 98-99. He played in 2 games in 99-2000, and his stats are as follows.
I wonder if he was there when that, remember the guy in the wheelchair rushed, stormed the court? That was NC State. I forgot
what happened. Was he injured?
Well, I think he got knocked out of his chair, so we called him. He was great.
Remember? Oh, that's right.
Sports editor.
He was okay. He was okay in the end.
Oh, no, he's totally fine.
Okay, he averaged 0.9 points a game his first year. In those 9 games, he shot 28.6%.
I bet he was a ball hog.
You don't know basketball. You just got caught.
Don't you think he was a ball hog just like looking
yes.
at him? Why?
He,
I bet you he dribbled way too much.
He made his only 2 free throw attempts. Congratulations,
okay, well,
Carl.
That's solid.
And boom goes the dynamite.
In his sophomore year, he played 5 minutes the whole season. And
passes it to the man.
He did not score. His first year, he only played 18 minutes. He is a ball hog. He averaged 0.8 field goal attempts a game, and he only played 2 minutes a game. How the hell did he get a field goal attempt almost every 2 minutes?
Unless he was the guy put in at the end of the game where they were winning, and everyone was chanting for him to make it.
Not only that, he had 0.4 three-point attempts
like J-Mac.
In 2 minutes. Per game, he had a half a three-point attempt for every 2 minutes he played. That's ridiculous.
Guess what his job was after he dropped out? He dropped out of NC State and before he went to Australia to join Hillsong.
What did he do? Oh, was he a valet?
He was a greeter at the Gucci store on Rodeo Drive. Oh,
Jesus. He's so incredibly unlikable. It's really a distressing story. And this whole idea of churches just being, you know, it's like Scientology is their model. Hey, just make a lot of money. It has nothing to do with doing the right thing. You know, what does Scientology do when anyone leaves a church of Scientology? They immediately rip them a new asshole.
Yeah, it's not about helping the less unfortunate.
I have a lot of natural gas on our property.
And the whole Hillsong thing with these, you know, they're just so into having famous people go to their church. It's like the only thing they care about. And some of them, like they said, I think it was Kevin Durant, who just walked in and sat down and said, oh, no, Kevin, come up to the VIP area. And he awkwardly gets reseated closer. And then they have these apparently celebrity-only meet and greets afterwards, where if you're not a celebrity, it's like they will bar you at the door. I mean, you'd be like a groupie at a rock concert trying to get in. I know. It's disgusting.
It sounds like Lentz barely showed up, too. Like, he was hardly ever there.
Oh, he was on the road.
He would disappear for months at a time, appearing on stage at the church only intermittently. His Instagram showed him appearing at the Super Bowl in Florida at Bieber's wedding. Or
doing shots at some bar in Australia.
When he was there on Sunday, he rarely mixed with the churchgoers. On Sunday, a team of congregants working as volunteers prevented anyone without the right badge from wandering backstage, as you were saying.
I mean, can you believe we're talking about a church?
I know. Only a few had clearance to enter the green room stocked with the lavish catering spread and change of clothes to fit Mr. Lentz's increasingly particular tastes. Fuck off.
Why would anyone give this church money? That's what bothers me the most. Is like their job, their only thing they care about is separating people from their money. It's like it's just such a con.
Well, here's the other
thing. I'm not calling religion a con. I'm just saying this church is a con.
This church also had no employees. They had the main guy, I think, who started it, and Lentz.
Right.
And everybody else, I believe, was a volunteer, correct?
It sounded that way to me, except those guys, made a shit ton of money because Lentz just sold his $1.5 million house in New Jersey. Then I guess he had a $4 million apartment in Manhattan, which they think he sold. And now he's left the East Coast in disgrace to move into his $16,000 a month rental in Los Angeles, or, you know, one of those.
Hallelujah.
That's disgusting to me.
I like this part, too. Mr. Lentz was known for his looks, tattoos, edgy glasses, and not just style, but fashion. Women's Wear Daily.
Fashion.
Women's Wear Daily described Mr. Lentz's uniform as Saint Laurent leather jacket, ripped jeans, and a low-cut T-shirt. He often sported a Rolex, too. Pastors and
he always looks like total dog shit.
Pastors and other staff members who arrived at Hillsong wearing traditional suits and ties often gradually started to dress like Mr. Lentz and even started imitating his southern inflected accent.
What? Hey, nice jacket. Who shot the couch?
He had quite the effect on people. They also tell this story in the article about a volunteer. You know, they had these volunteers who would work like 12 hours a day, mainly to help the celebrities and the main people. And so this one was telling a story where there's a birthday party for Lentz's wife.
Yeah.
At a private Williamsburg. That's the really trendy hipster area of Brooklyn.
Sure.
And so the volunteer was enlisted to drive people home from the party to not party. So she's like, I wasn't even invited to the party. I was instructed to stay there and drive people home because they were too drunk.
God. This is just so wrong.
And then, of course,
there's nothing criminal really here, but it's just so wrong.
It's supposed to be a church, supposed to be helping people. And then all they do is take advantage of people. And then, of course, you know, they knew there were multiple affairs, which were reported to higher ups in 2017, and they didn't do anything about it.
No, in fact, they criticized the person like, hey, you tattletale, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
For real.
How did that work for you guys?
And, you know, this is just so standard to me that I almost feel like it's not a big deal to point it out. Is it Brian Houston that is the big dog?
Yes.
Yeah. He apparently felt it unnecessary to tell people that his father was molesting children at the church.
Yeah.
So that was something they uncovered.
That was under their previous name.
Yeah, that's right.
So they said a name change. And,
you know, anytime.
I don't get it, man.
When a church has to hire a law firm to go through the what's the goings on at the church.
Well, that's what officially makes it a church, right?
It's yeah, these days. It's just so distressing. I don't even know what
God,
to say.
God, I go to church every goddamn Sunday.
Oh, what a pile of shit.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered.
Now this is a church.
I don't like men no more. I said I like women. women. I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not tear a purse. I would not put on makeup. I will love a woman.
A woman?
Does he really understand what
is that Ricky Anderson?
Does he understand what gay people do?
I don't know.
Oh, well, carry a purse. Okay.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I want to wrap up on the football before we got too far away because, the Spartans got whomped by Ohio State. And let's see. Indiana-Wisconsin was a pretty good game.
I didn't see it. Who won? Indiana?
Wait, so let me get this straight. Because Michigan is not having a good year, have no interest at all in anything related to college football. Now, the sport, it's almost like Joanne's Fashions. It's about as important as Joanne's
Fashions. Fabrics. But okay.
You're
in the cult, bro.
It's probably as important as college football.
No. If Michigan were to play.
But you don't watch.
I didn't watch Michigan State, Ohio State, because I was.
But you would.
I was working
normally
on the humidifier on my furnace.
If Michigan was 5-1, you'd be watching any game that could slightly affect Michigan's place in the poll. Ole Miss beat Louisiana Tech, and Louisiana Tech beat this team, and Michigan beat that team. So Michigan could move up a few points.
In a normal year, probably. Oh, this year's all messed up. I don't know.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
They're just bad. It's not the year's messed up. You don't like it because they're bad. So now you have no interest in the sport. It's only like you're trying to downplay the sport entirely, so nobody will be interested.
No.
Nobody will notice how bad Michigan is.
You are false, sir.
Well, why are you not watching any games?
Guess we can't cheer for that team.
Because I have kids, man. I don't know.
Oh, I see. So if Michigan was 6-0, you wouldn't be paying attention.
No,
I got kids, man.
I'll watch every Michigan game, even when they suck. You know that. I'll be watching
Prince
Saturday.
Fielder. I got kids, man.
I try not to leave the TV on all day.
I saw a promo today.
Plus, Chelsea played at 3 on Saturday, so I watched that.
This is not going to wash. Any feedback? Email me. If I'm on the wrong track on this, please let me know. If there's anything else you want me to pass along to Mark.
Thoroughly excited about Coastal Carolina and BYU, and I think Coastal Carolina should be in the playoffs.
BYU, didn't they almost score in the last play of the game?
Yeah, they got stopped. But how about Coastal Carolina?
It's their record, by the way.
They're undefeated, man. 8-0. And they own the Fun Belt Conference.
That game was set up at the last second, wasn't it? Because both of them had COVID opponents or something?
Liberty.
Oh, Liberty had too much COVID?
Liberty dropped out. So
really?
BYU, can you play? And BYU flew across the country.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I know it seems ridiculous, but it's kind of cool.
They get more attention for managing just to have that many wins in general? What are they, 8-0?
Coastal Carolina?
Yeah.
And they all got mullets.
Have they beaten anybody else?
They're winning the Sun Belt Conference, man.
Well, but I mean, have they played any other ranked teams?
Sure.
No. Okay. Well,
I'll look it up for you.
Indiana beat Wisconsin. They're now 6-1. I really have been enjoying having different teams like Indiana and Northwestern actually do so well in the Big Ten. It's fun to have somebody different doing it. But of course, Ohio State is 5-0, and somehow, some way, we must get them to the playoff, even if we have to change rules. But I saw a promo today for the Michigan Ohio State game.
Yeah, they opened up a 30-point favorite, too.
Is that game going to be played?
Hell, I don't know. As of right now, it is, yeah.
I have seen.
I don't know how they make these decisions, man.
I've seen so many Michigan people who say that, no, I don't want them to play. I'd rather they didn't play. It's like, what do you mean? You'd rather they didn't play? You'd rather there was
Why
no
cares?
Game?
I'd rather
What's
see
the point?
I'd rather see them play, even if they're going to get trucked by 40 points.
If there's no game, it seems that it's a total puss out, and you'd rather not have a game. Well, that's worse than a loss in my eyes. And, Herb Street got completely raked over the coals for suggesting that Michigan was waving the white flag. But I was starting to wonder if he was right, because they had, first of all, Michigan has bragged about their protocols all year. Oh, my God, we have the best protocols. We're Michigan. We are the leaders in the special, and we're the cult, and we have the best protocols. Nobody has protocols like Michigan. And then all of a sudden it's like, everyone went on for Thanksgiving, and they weren't supposed to do that. Well, why'd they go home for Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
Is that a plan? Is this a plot to get out of the Ohio State game?
I think you would be giving Jim Harbaugh too much credit if you think that was a pre-planned. Well,
but I don't understand. Their protocols are so good. The best. Remember in August, we have to play. We have to play. Well, bullshit.
They have done pretty good for a while. And I don't understand why they decide what all games of a sudden get canceled and what games don't. Because remember, Maryland canceled like two or three in a row.
So Wisconsin.
And then, yeah, but then when they played, they had like 20 people out. So I don't know if it's, when there's an outbreak, they just freeze and stop everything and wait, and then they decide that it's been frozen too long. I don't know.
What is the deal? Ohio State played without 23 players in Michigan State.
But like I said,
and their head coach.
They had games canceled too, so I don't. Is it a thing?
Well, how many guys had it when they were canceled, for Christ's sake?
That's what I'm asking, because it tends to be a lot less. So is it just because it's the beginning of the outbreak, they pause everything?
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And isolate them, but that doesn't seem to make much sense.
Well, there's a lot that doesn't make sense. Does not make sense. But they had three offensive linemen starters out. They had two defensive starters out. They had 18 other players out, and they beat Michigan State 52-10. And I was watching the offensive line dominate. I'm like, their backups are better than most starting teams in the Big Ten.
By a mile, yeah.
I mean, how did this gap get so big? Anyway, so on Saturday, it's funny, game day, it seemed to me game day was avoiding the topic.
Oh, really?
They really didn't say any. Oh, you don't watch game day anymore?
No, he's got kids, man.
I'm not joking. I try to keep the TV off around him.
I got kids, man.
So if Michigan was 6-0, you wouldn't be watching game day?
Probably not.
Oh, I don't believe that. I do not believe that.
I got kids, man.
I do not believe that.
I think I've watched game day all year.
And also, the CDC in the last, I think, 2 weeks has said that quarantine is not even 14 days anymore. It's 7 to 10 days. And they said if it's 9 or 10 days, if the person is vulnerable or they have some sort of, you know, diabetes or they're heavy set or something like that. But I would think that these great, great athletes, it would be 7 days. So what is this, all this debate about, oh, my God, these kids are Thanksgiving. We have the greatest protocols in the world, but all of a sudden we don't. And 12 kids got COVID. Is it 12?
Yeah, I thought I saw 18, but maybe just 12. I mean, there's been no official word as to how many, which is dumb, too, that you think they'd be a little more forthcoming with information.
Well, Thanksgiving, was it 27th or something? I think it was the 26th, yeah. And then Friday 27th, 29th. Yeah, 26th of November. So push it ahead a couple days, and you're still like 2 weeks from the Ohio State game. But yet all the last few days have been, oh, my God, I don't know how they can possibly play Ohio State. And it seemed like the Michigan people were like, oh, God, I hope we don't play it.
What Michigan people?
Oh, just, you know, friends and a lot of people just joking.
Okay,
fans.
Yeah, no, yeah. I thought you meant, okay.
No, I don't hear Jim Harbaugh saying that. I haven't heard Jim Harbaugh. Has he said anything about this game?
No. Not that I've seen. I don't care.
It's only.
Maybe he knows it's his last one.
Now, I realize that all the fans for this cult do not want them to play in this game, which I thought was the biggest rivalry in sports. We just don't want to play.
That's quite an overstatement. All the fans don't want them to play.
A lot of fans don't want them to play.
Okay.
You don't want them to play.
No, I want them to play.
Since when?
I what I said is I don't care if it's canceled because the team sucks, but I want. I always.
But
want
what
them
Michigan
play.
Fan would ever say they don't care if the Michigan Ohio State game's canceled? No one said
know.
No one ever.
I got kids, man.
I want them to play.
I hear a lot of Michigan people saying they don't want them to play. I don't think they're being assholes. I think they're just saying this is going to be bad. I don't even want to see it.
Are they worried about the kids' health?
No. I don't think that's
it. Of course not. No one.
I don't think that's it at all. Well, they're 20-year-olds. They're great athletes. I mean, their health is not a huge concern as far as COVID.
Athletes.
So anyway, I mean, at least if it's going to be like this, can we at least stop calling it the biggest rivalry in sports? I mean, isn't it becoming kind of a joke?
If you say so.
Well, tell me why it is the biggest rivalry in sports.
Just for the pure history of it? the loathing of it?
History, the history at what point backwards?
I don't know. I can name you a lot of different rivalries that I feel are bigger than that. I mean, all across all of sports. I don't know.
They play once a year. I think that's.
I think Duke and North Carolina is a bigger collegiate rivalry than Michigan.
College basketball.
And Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a great rivalry.
They also play three times a year, usually. Scheduled twice.
But it's got to be football. If this is the best football rivalry in sports, then there aren't any good rivalries in sports because Ohio State's been killing Michigan for how long?
Is Alabama-Auburn a rivalry?
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn wins once in a while, don't they?
I think they've won before.
It used to be a giant rivalry.
They've won more recent than Michigan has, right?
Probably.
Well, Virginia Tech has beaten Ohio State more recently than Michigan has.
What about the Army-Navy?
Is Alabama-LSU a rivalry? Because Alabama dominated them until last year.
I don't really think so. I mean, it's
Oklahoma-Texas is, I think.
Used to be. It seems like there's a lot of those used-to-be rivalries that really aren't that big, and I'd probably have to really think about it to think of what is a bigger rivalry. Is there a better is Ohio State-Penn State been a better game lately than Michigan-Ohio State?
Well, you would think so.
You mean me?
Yeah.
Why just me?
Because you don't like Michigan.
Why? I don't like Michigan because I think the rivalry is overstated. Are you trying to tell me that nobody wants this game canceled? No Michigan fans want
I'm sure there are some.
Okay, then how can it be the biggest rivalry?
I guess it's not.
I guess not. Maybe we have to ask Maz.
You don't get it. I can tell.
All right. I'm going to do a couple commercials. Can we call Maz, please?
I think Minnesota-Wisconsin's a bigger rivalry.
Oh, by far.
By mile.
What about Iowa-Nebraska?
I think Michigan
Northwestern
State.
Northwestern Illinois.
Michigan State Northwestern is far bigger.
Give me Lafayette and Lehigh all day.
Michigan Lehigh. It does go back a lot.
Virginia Tech. Yeah. Virginia won last year, and Virginia Tech had only won the previous 16. So.
I got kids, man.
Dow Mazza.
No,
I
you
want
guys,
to pop off.
I don't want either of you to watch the game.
I want to watch it. I want the game. I like the game.
No, you don't care.
I look forward to the game. No, you're the one that doesn't care.
You said
you're the one that doesn't watch Game Day. You can't watch anything.
So I have to watch. I have to watch Game Day to want to watch Michigan Ohio State.
I don't care. I didn't care.
If a football game might break out, anything with your kids is better.
No, I didn't say that.
All of a sudden, you're father of the century.
I got kids.
I didn't say that.
Dow Maz up. I want to hear his opinion. I think he's going to. I predict he will say the Yankees and Red Sox are a better rivalry.
Probably.
Oh, sure.
They only play 30 times a fucking year.
What, is that the rule in rivalries? You can only play once a year?
Oh, I think it matters. Don't you think it means more when you barely play?
Yeah, but shouldn't you win once every 3-4 decades?
Yeah, because if you only play once a year, you could go a decade and win once and then still be trying to claim it's the biggest rivalry and get laughed at.
It's clear it's just not a rivalry. Ohio State doesn't like dominating Michigan, and Michigan doesn't want to beat Ohio State because it doesn't matter.
It seems it's about like Michigan Northwestern was 20 years ago.
Sure.
Yeah. Our friends and studio sponsors at Zoc Chrysler Jeep Dodge. We have a Twitter poll if you want.
Go ahead.
Twitter poll has been so popular lately.
No, I mean.
Our friends and studio sponsors at Zoc Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com are proud to roll out their annual holiday sales event. During Zoc holiday sales event, you get employee pricing for everyone. That's right, employee pricing for everyone. No weaseling, no having to use somebody's employee number that you don't even know. This is what's going on at Zoc Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. That means you get the best deal of the season with no employee number needed. And here's some of the deals. The Jeep Renegade, all jammed up, $177 a month. The fun-to-drive Jeep Cherokee at $245 a month. Finally, during Zot holiday sales event, leasing new Ram 1500 Quad Cab 4x4 at just $269 a month. Plus, we know Team Zot will give you world-class service. That's why they have a 4.7-star rating on Google. Get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsandthed.com. That's right, employee pricing for everyone at Zot Dodge Ram. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And Dr. Yaldo is just yaldoing away at the new office in Rochester, on Rochester Road, just north of M59. And they're doing, of course, as you know, the multifocal lens replacement, which you have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. You can give up the glasses, the contacts, and all that with the topography-guided LASIK, the most precise in the world. Throw out the glasses, throw out the contacts, see better than you ever could with them. Call 1-800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell me about the $1,500 Drew and Mike discount. And, yes, go grow green. We have a new grow green copy.
Mm-hmm.
They've launched their Dank Deals program with deep discounts of up to 80% on all your favorite grow gear. Insane deals. Insane deals like bales of Pro Mix for $15, Hortilux LU 1000 lamps for $35, bags of Mother Earth cocoa for only $8. I feel like we're talking
about... Sounds delicious.
We're talking the old pot lingo where nobody knows what you're talking about unless you're a stoner.
Well, you better call them.
Deals are time and quantity limited, so head to growgreenmi.com, click the Dank Deals banner to score some below-cost deals before they're gone. Your time is money and best spent in the garden. That's why GrowGreen offer Michigan $50 flat rate shipping, where they'll bring any size order anywhere in Michigan for just $50, including pallets of soil. Shop in-store or online at growgreenmi.com. Mention the podcast, get a free GrowGreen t-shirt.
I'm so high right now. I have no idea what's going on.
Maz is allegedly trying to get us Chris Spielman.
Oh, he called the game today, didn't he, Spielman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so good.
He's really good. Is there really talk about him being the coach of the Lions? Is that a real thing?
I think they were talking about GM more than anything, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, wasn't his brother a GM at Minnesota?
Minnesota, I think, isn't he?
He's still a GM there.
Is he?
He's pretty well received, isn't he? I don't know. How have the Vikings been? I mean, they're always better than the Lions.
A crazy end of the game today against Jacksonville.
What happened?
Oh, they missed a long field goal right at the end that would have won it, and then Jacksonville somehow got a chance to kick a long field goal, and they missed it, and I think Minnesota kicked the field goal in overtime.
Oh, so the Vikings did win?
Yeah.
So they're 6-6 now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They were 1-5.
I still don't think the Vikings are that good.
I don't really either, but it seems like they're generally in the game, though. I mean, they seem like they can play on the field with
anybody. I
don't
think Kirk Cousins is that good. I know you like him better than Stafford, which kind of blows my mind.
I don't know how much I like him. I got to look him up on Pro Football Reference. You know what it is about Stafford? Stafford's just made big mistakes this year. He's too far into his career to be making big mistakes. I don't think Kirk Cousins is that great. Maybe I just don't think Stafford's that great.
They're both average NFL quarterbacks. Or, I guess, above average.
I don't think I'd be real excited about having either one of them.
To me, exactly. They're just generic NFL quarterbacks, aren't they?
Stafford has monster numbers, though. I mean, by the time he retires, don't you think he'll have
all those pre-vent Ds, baby. Say what you want, but that matters. He's had a lot of comeback victories.
You know what I will say for Kirk Cousins, and not that I really want to talk about him, but he does have a winning record as a quarterback. I mean, that's something. You know, 67%. He's thrown for...
You like that?
Stafford.
You like that?
Stafford would dwarf these numbers. He's thrown for 26,000 yards. What's Stafford at, like 50,000, I bet?
Yeah.
178 touchdowns, 82 interceptions as a record. He's 6-6 this year as a starter. He was 10-5 last year as a starter. 8-7-1, 7-9, 8-7-1, 9-7. So, yeah, he's just sort of...
He's also on a low... Well, until this year, a very loaded Minnesota team.
Oh, he's won playoff games as a starter, too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why I lift him. Let's see what his...
We call him Young Tom Brady.
That is one of those arguments that even if you win, it's really not very satisfying.
What's that?
Who's better, Stafford or Kirk Cousins?
Green, 16, sat, hot.
You were listing a bunch of quarterbacks you would rather have than Matthew Stafford.
I like Matt Stafford. I like him as a person.
Sure.
And I love his talent. I just feel like he is so disappointing so many times when you need that one play.
I just feel like he's interchangeable with people like Kirk Cousins or Phillip Rivers or Ryan Tannehill.
The
problem is he was the number one overall pick.
The interception he threw today, for example. The interception he threw in the Bears game, the first Bears game, which was critical. The interception he threw against Indianapolis. The pick six he threw against the Texans. Does Kirk Cousins do that? Does Phillip Rivers do that? Do they do it a lot? Do they do it as much? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't watch him enough. Kirk Cousins won one playoff game. Big deal. But that was the one where... that was the miracle game, wasn't it? Did he throw the...
You like that?
Remember the guy caught the ball and like the DB just like lunged at him and then he ran another 30 yards in?
Oh, Diggs?
Was that Diggs? Was that Cousins? Cousins wasn't the quarterback. That other guy.
Against the Saints?
Yeah, it wasn't Cousins. It was the guy. He had the biggest year of his career, I think. And he signed for some big dough, and I don't think we ever heard from him again. I can't even think of his name. I think he had been typically a backup.
Oh, Maz is calling.
Mazel. I know Maz will want to pop off on this topic. Plus, we got to really nail him on Spielman.
He's there.
Maz!
You're thinking of Case Keenum. You're thinking of Case Keenum.
There we go.
What's wrong with Case Keenum?
I was trying to remember who threw that touchdown pass to Diggs that won them the playoff game against the Saints.
Really?
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah, that was
just wondering. Was... Maz sounds fascinated.
They won a playoff game against the Saints?
Yeah. Maz, where were you? Maz, you don't miss anything.
Not long ago.
Come on. Remember he threw it to Diggs and the DB lunged at him and gave him like a...
Oh, I'm thinking Lions because he played the Lions too.
You're right.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Well, are you thinking of... wait, no. No, yeah, whatever.
Mark, you know who I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and it's driving me nuts.
Oh, Case. Wait. I know who you're talking about too.
Stoney Case.
Thank you. Yes.
God damn. Stoney Case.
Yeah, it was Case Keenum's fame.
He played in one play. Stoney Case quarterbacked the final game of the Moeller era.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He was a starter in that game, wasn't he? Or did he come in for somebody?
Drew, you got me on that one. I don't remember him in that game.
Yeah, I believe Stoney Case is the quarterback in the game, and the Michigan State kicker made that long field goal to beat the Lions.
Yeah, Paul Edinger knocked out the Lions.
Big E.
Maz, who would you rather have, Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford?
Oh, Matthew Stafford.
By far?
Not even close.
Not even close?
Not even close.
Who has the better who has the better career record, Stafford, right?
I don't know if he has a better career record. I think he probably, because he played longer. But I'm just saying he's a much better quarterback. The poor guy is here.
Wait. You like that? You like that?
Okay, let's just look at his career record.
I think most Viking fans are not very happy with the contract and signing of Kirk Cousins now.
No, probably not.
I don't really like this argument. I think I want to get out of this argument.
It. I don't like the other one.
Matthew Stafford is a phenomenal, not a phenomenal, he's a very good quarterback. And he would have been already winning many playoff games if he was elsewhere.
I don't know about that. Did you? How many huge turnovers has he made this year?
He's with the Lions.
But he made the passes. A lot of them were
the
pick six.
He's been lionized.
I do think that interception today was just a really good defensive play. And the one that...
It was amazing.
And the one J.J. Watt made was just an incredible...
He threw it right in his hands, though. Where was he throwing that ball?
Big fat guy there to intercept the pass. Let's face it. He wasn't blocked properly.
All right, I don't like this argument at all.
That's fine.
But Maz, okay. We're calling mainly to find out how the progress is going. Do we have a scheduled time for Chris Spielman yet?
No, I figured I'd give him at least a night to get home from Chicago, and then I would attack him tomorrow.
Would you do that if it was for the rap with Maz?
Of course.
The same strategy. Okay. Some people are saying he was on the rap with Maz.
He was.
Oh, really?
What was the topic, Maz?
We talked about the Lions because he did the Carolina game the week prior.
That's right.
And he was very tough on them, saying they had no life. He said that again today. I talked to him about those two idiots that were running the team at the time. And then we brought up the Michigan, Ohio State. I'm like, what happened to Jim Harbaugh? He doesn't really have an answer for it, but Ohio State is just in their own league right now. They're not in Michigan's league. Let's face it.
He must be enjoying that.
Well, yeah, he doesn't say so. Don't forget, he was going to go to Michigan until his father told him he'd disown him.
That's right. Yeah, his dad overruled him.
I'm a little bummed out. You didn't have Mick Mixon on to talk about the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, Mick Mixon, that was Dave's buddy, wasn't it? Whose buddy was that?
I don't know. We had when the Sean, Mark, and Maz show had him on a few times.
Yeah, I think that was Dave Shore's buddy.
I gotta tell you, he was a good guest.
He was really good.
Wait, who is Mick Mixon?
He's the radio play-by-play guy, of course, that we had to talk to, but isn't he like a jazz musician, too? We found out a lot of weird things about him.
Did you guys have a feature on that show that forced you to have like an interview every day with someone that you probably may not want to talk to?
Yeah, it's called our program director.
Whoever we had Spanning the Globe.
Spanning the Globe, that's right. Yeah, because I remember you guys would interview Spanning the Globe, and I knew it was getting tricky because... It seemed like there wasn't always call to span the globe. And then I would frequently hear a guest was coming up that I thought that you did not want to probably talk to.
We had to come up with three different cities to span the globe, three different stories in a city.
That's terrible. Whose idea was that? Who can blame that on?
Well, my buddy John Lund, who I used to work with, and he's in San Francisco now kicking ass. That was Colin Cowherd's original thing.
Spanning the globe?
Yeah.
But doesn't Colin Cowherd have lots of people working under him who could wildly span the globe?
Yes, he does. He does. He has a lot more contacts than we did.
Whose responsibility was it to span the globe and find the three people?
Me. I booked the guest.
Maz, what would you say was the most dubious spanning the globe guest that you booked?
I really can't. I can't go back and think about these things. It's been so long, Drew. We're talking 2016 here, man.
Mark, can you remember any spanning the globe guests that you wondered why they were on the show?
I was going to say we took advantage of it, though, to do some. There was always a weird, like, sporting event just to talk to someone random.
I
like wasn't...
this segment, honestly. I really do.
There must have been some days, though, forced. Where you felt like it was a little,
Yeah.
I think
day.
We forced our, we had a hockey segment. We called it 5-Minute Major.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So we had to talk 5 minutes of hockey every day.
But Sean did the heavy lifting there.
Right.
Yeah, which is fine.
And I enjoyed the, you know, the actual name of it. I thought 5-Minute Major was a good time.
It was good imaging.
Good imaging, yes.
You think like a program director.
You do.
Exactly.
That's a great name.
We had what was that hockey store we had as our sponsor?
Oh, God. They were
a good sponsor and a good name is so much more important than the programming element itself.
Clearly.
What the hell's the name of that store?
I can't remember.
Was it Pirani's Hockey
Pirani's,
World?
Yes, yes.
Pirani's.
Trudy would have spit that out in half a second. Trudy gives service after the sponsorship.
Sponsors.
Maz, you've got to have at least one good example of spanning the globe when you really did not feel like spanning the globe and you phoned one in.
I remember what would happen is, because you're right, after, I don't know, when you do that 4 or 5 weeks in a row, all of a sudden you've
tiring.
Pretty much, you've talked to every single person in every single major sports town, and so it turns into going through like these NFL books and these NBA books and trying to find a beat writer. Trying to find maybe somebody who runs a blog and just trying to get somebody different to answer their phone. And a lot of times it's like, hey, I know we talked to you last week, but can we talk to you again? And
Maz, I got to believe there must be a repeat person from Span the Globe that you can remember. A person who came on a second time.
Literally, Drew, here's what I'm going to do for you. I have all the notes from our shows. I will go back, and the next time I'm on, I will have that.
Okay. I think it'll be fun.
All but we were forced, there were a lot of different bits we were forced to do. We had to do that bit where, hey, we're all going to pick somebody who we think is going to really tear it up tonight.
That's right. That was late. That was late. That
what was it called? Because the name's important.
It was called Picks to Click.
Ooh. Yes.
Well, you know, what does that mean?
But
you know who does that now?
What am I
Fox
clicking?
Fox Sports does that.
Fox Sports
does that.
Have you sued them for the name?
They infringed on us, no question about it.
But the thing that's silly about it is it makes it like it's 10 minutes of people just guessing, you know, what player is going to have a good game tonight. And it's
that's
like,
a fact.
Well, the Tiger announcers do that before the Tigers game, too.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Fox Sports.
Oh, yeah, Fox Sports. Sports. Okay. Okay. So who came up with the name Picks to Click?
I think it was Dave Shore.
Dave Shore?
Because it rhymes.
I think.
That would make sense. Because it sounds like something I would so not want to do.
I remember he didn't like my idea of a prick of the week, where we picked an asshole in sports.
I like that.
Prick of the week is great.
It is.
We had the best segment that we came up with. The one best segment we had to stop after 2 months of doing it.
What segment?
Oh, yeah.
I just remember I came back from a vacation or something, and we're like, hey, we're not allowed to do that segment anymore.
Skirts on Sports?
Yep. Skirts on Sports.
And it had, that sucked because that was a
Wait, what was the bit? Did you have a girl talk about sports?
We had I can't remember the intern's name. He was a really good kid, really hard worker, and he went out to a bar and asked a series of questions to women out there.
I like that bit.
And he would be shit-faced, and the chicks would be shit-faced, and so it would be funny, because basically it's like, hey, do you think the girl's going to know the answer to this question?
That was great.
And the joy was, after the setup, and you hear like what she's saying, like you didn't think she would get it, and she would nail it, you know? And then you felt stupid because you didn't think she would get it, but a lot of times, of course, they wouldn't get it.
There's a video element, too, because if she was hot, then you could post her picture. Here's today's chick on sports.
But just like Chris Collinsworth got in trouble.
Yes, I was just going to say that. He just got in trouble for that.
I
trashed him to you guys. Remember? It was the same night.
Oh, yeah. You don't like Chris Collinsworth.
No, I don't like him without. You know, he just annoys the shit out of him when he's with Al.
Do you think Al somehow encouraged that comment or somehow forced it out of Collinsworth?
He's behind it. No question.
Don't you think he's, isn't he the best though, Collinsworth?
He definitely preps like a son of a bitch. No question about it.
Didn't he create?
I like Tony still. I know he talks a lot, but I love Tony Romo. I really do.
Romo's great.
He's good. Yeah, he's very good.
And you know what? I'm a Troy guy. I like Troy. I always did.
Nothing. I mean, they're both. All three of those are the best. I just think Collinsworth is the best, though.
Troy.
How about his son? His son's sharp. His son is good.
No, that bothers me though. Didn't Collinsworth start Pro Football Focus, or didn't he really get it going?
I don't remember.
Oh, which is, you know, the Bible for the NFL. I thought that was Collinsworth. Anyway.
Maz, I have a question. I'm debating, should I get Maz's initial response to it, or should I give him 45 seconds to think about it?
Initial response, always.
Okay, I'll go for your initial response, then I'm going to do a commercial, and then you can rethink or think more deeply about it. I'm just going to throw this out there like there's no context whatsoever. What is the best rivalry in sports?
Easy. Red Sox-Yankees.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Yeah.
And why is it the best rivalry? Because Mark says they play 30 times a year.
Yeah, they play 18 times a year. And then if they make in the playoffs, it's amazing. They had the Babe Ruth curse. The sons of bitches broke it, obviously, coming back from 3-0 down.
That was amazing.
The Yankees. But it's been a phenomenal. It's hate, man. It's great baseball. It really is great baseball. It's great theater. Yeah, they go a little long now. You know, they really do, because both teams take a ton of pitches. You know, they're 3.5 hours, 4 hours sometimes. It's long, but they're always good theater. Always.
The hatred has been pretty enduring. I have to give it credit.
I mean, I
for
hate
that.
Those fuckers. I really do.
Now, since the 3-0 deficit, what is there a game or two or a series that comes to mind? Because that was 2003.
Was it?
Was it three or four?
Yeah, it's about right.
It was a good while ago.
I think it was
all four. Can you think of something more recent where some rival elements were brought to bear?
Between the Yankees and them?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can. I'm just asking because that was a long time ago. But that is a great example.
Right before that, Drew, is when, don't you remember Pedro Martinez throwing down for Don Zimmer?
Absolutely. Oh, that was fantastic.
That was great.
Yeah, there between that period from, like, I could even go back. I mean, like mid-90s to mid-2000s. Right. It was a strong 10 years, and I'm just trying to think of stuff since then, and it's just not coming to my mind.
I'll tell you, the Red Sox have pretty much owned them for a few years in there when they won those world championships. I hate it, but it's been the facts. I mean, the Yankees just don't have the pitching right now. Hopefully they'll get it now and get it back. You have to give me some time to think about it.
Okay, think about football while I talk about the butchery, and Maz would love the butchery. Because
I love the butchery. I have never gone, but those guys, man. I'm just saying, they're posts. They're posts. I'm fucking starving. Just looking at the posts. They're great. Davey Hub and the guys, they're terrific.
Yeah, the meat selections are incredible. They really are. The butchery on Orchard Lake Road, the butchery is the place to go for prime meat. In fact, I was thinking, you know, God, what if there was some sort of, like, if it was a normal year and there was some great holiday festival to have, or we had a show party or a Red Shovel Network party, I would so want Chef Dave to pile up some awesome meat and some salads.
They do catering.
I know. No, they kick ass. God, I mean, I don't know if you'd call catering what they did here. They just filled my freezer and my refrigerator with incredible food.
I know.
And Brandon, what are they? They brought you some food too, didn't they?
Oh my God! I've had ahi steaks. I've had flat iron steak fajitas. I've had ribeyes, and you know what? Even the off things that aren't meat related are fantastic. The chips and salsa—they're
it's
amazing.
The chips are great. Yes, the salsa is really good too. I'm fussy about salsa. Yeah,
I'm
the
in
chips
heaven.
Are fantastic. The
I hope
prime
they kick ass. Was I hope that? They kick ass.
What was that prime rib they brought over? Yeah, prime beef. So oh my good. God! It was just cut real thin. Oh, it's good. Anyway. You get your meat in any portions you want, everything from a single steak to half a cow. They've got it all, and it's all grass-fed beef. All their pork is 100% Michigan-raised, plus it's convenient. Everything Chef Dave puts out is made in-house, like their high-end sausage and brats. Even his wife's delicious homemade desserts like cookies, brownies, pies. The butchery on Orchard Lake Road, it's easy to find. Just take Telegraph to Orchard Lake and head west. It's worth the drive. Or find them online to place an order. The butchery meets, eats, and treats. And, yeah, they do catering, and they do deliver. I mean, they don't just do that for us, do they?
No, they deliver.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, get into it. And then Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, probably getting a lot of interest these days with all the COVID forcing people to spend so much time together. If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system that you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. Okay, Maz, now, you know why, I'm sure you know why we threw this question out at you. It's kind of like the audience when they get hit with a Twitter poll and it just says no context whatsoever, and they try to figure out, okay, make Drew thinks this guy has red hair, and everybody else thinks his hair is not red.
Did you see the last poll update? That Jay Moore does not have red hair.
Okay, what are the numbers on that?
Do you remember what they were, Brandon? We looked it up before the show.
Jay Moore is a blonde.
Thank you.
Well, he wasn't when you just showed his hair. He was a redhead.
Yeah, because I found the one with the most red hair in it.
Well, he dyed it then.
I mean, no, he dyed it blonde.
No, what it is, Tom, is we've decided whatever the minority hair color is what you identify as.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like biracial people.
I think that's with red hair, though. At least for me, it is because
maybe you know, got Auburn highlights or something.
Kevin Connolly was the one that got it started because I was like, yeah, Kevin Connolly, the guy with red hair from Entourage. You guys were like, huh? Who had red hair in Entourage? Do you know who Kevin Connolly is?
Of course I do. I love that show.
Does he have red
he's
hair?
A brunette. He's a brunette.
His name is E.
What color hair does he have?
I would say it's Auburn highlighted. Yeah, for sure.
It's brown. But Jay Moore definitely has blonde hair. But in the first poll, when we just put a picture out there, the people voted. And officially, he was deemed to be a redhead by the listeners. But the latest poll, does Jay Moore have red hair, ended up being 58% said no.
Wait, is there a picture of him?
No.
It was just the question.
We just threw it out there.
Okay. Well, that's probably a lot of hate that I'm getting on that poll now that people know the context. That picture, though, I just thought his hair was reddish. And I admit it. If somebody has slightly red hair, I will call them, or I'll just think they have red hair. And maybe there's a minority hair color issue there. That's kind of an interesting way to look at it. But, Maz, back to the question. And the reason this question was brought out is because with Michigan, and I, you know, tell me if I'm wrong about this. I was just saying that I found a lot of Michigan fans are saying, oh, my God, I hope they don't play this game. Oh, this COVID thing is so bad. And here's Michigan with the most incredible COVID protocols. And all of a sudden, the COVID is so out of control, they may not be able to play the Ohio State game. And
I hope not.
It sounds kind of weaselly. But anyway, when I hear people saying they hope they don't play, I feel like this can't be the biggest rivalry in sports anymore.
It's not anymore. It's unfortunate. It's an embarrassment for if you're a Michigan fan. But it is a great. It is to me. It's top three of all sports rivalries. It's not a question about it. But a rivalry is when both teams win. And Michigan, the last 20 years, has shit the bed. Let's face the facts.
Is Alabama LSU a rivalry?
I think it's a little bit of a rivalry. All about Alabama Auburn.
LSU has beaten them once in the last 11 years.
At least it happened last year, right?
It's an SEC classic game, but it's not a rivalry. Auburn, Alabama, is the rivalry.
I think Auburn's beaten them four times in the last 15 years.
Yeah,
Mark, did you have children the last time the Wolverines beat the Buckeyes?
No, No, because she's only seven, or she's going to be seven.
Ooh,
terrible.
Poor kid.
Terrible. When is the last time Michigan beat Ohio State?
2011, I think.
2011, and then before that,
wasn't that the 03? Interim coach, Mark?
Yeah. Fickle.
Oh, Luke Fickle, that's right.
Yeah, it was Fickle, who's now the hot candidate to come out of, where is he, Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, that the whole Harbaugh talk, because they didn't play this week, it's like it sort of just fades. But what are they going to do, Maz?
Well, Parker says that they're going to rehire him. Well, I think it's horrible. I hope to God he's wrong.
Well, they either
the Moles are saying they're going to rehire him.
Well, they either have to get...
I hope they quit. I hope it's not true.
They either have to get rid of him or give him an extension. I mean, you can't have a lame duck coach.
I still think he walks away. I think they both shake hands if he walks away. I don't know who they're going to hire.
So,
maybe that guy from Iowa State, but that's about it. I don't know who else is hot out there.
So the word, I mean, there's so many rumors, of course, the whole divorce rumors out there. But the one legitimate.
Are people really giving that a play that he's getting a divorce?
It's a rumor that has been out there for not just since they've been playing like shit, that it's been out there for a while.
How long have you been married to her, Mark?
I love rumors.
You know what? I don't know.
That's a newer wife, am I correct?
Yeah, she's younger. Yeah. She's like 40, and he's.
That's a rumor that has absolutely no substance.
Emma Sazen is like, she's in her late 30s, maybe, and he's 55 or 56, yeah. Something like that.
But the the legitimate thing is that Michigan really wants an NFL team to take him away.
Oh, that would be great.
It's not going to happen, though. I don't know who would want him. The Jets really want to hire him?
He's at his lowest. He is at his lowest right now.
Sure.
Lowest.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you said the other day, and I thought about it, I was like, wow, I think you're right, is that nobody seems to like him. I mean, him.
Yeah.
I mean, when he wins, of course you like the results.
I didn't say that. I think that was Brian Cook that wrote that, and it was just dead nuts correct.
Look at the Lions today, how they play for Bevel. I mean, sure. I know they're not. I know it's not a win-win for the Gipper, but they look like they had a lot more fun today.
Really? Anything can happen in the Daryl Bevel era.
Yeah, that's a lot of people are saying that. Some people are saying anything can happen in the Daryl Bevel era.
He'll probably get hired.
The way the era was ushered in today could not be any better.
I'm making that a Twitter poll.
Do you think anything can happen in the Daryl Bevel era?
You know, can anything happen?
So, Maz, what football rivalry would you say is number one right now?
Oh, man. I mean, this, the old-time rivals like the Packers and Bears, I think they're separated by like 5 wins. And they've been playing, you know, since the Dark Ages. But, you know, the Bears haven't been good lately, since 85, really. And the Packers are phenomenal. They're the best in our division. I like the back in the day, the Dolphins and the freaking Jets were a phenomenal.
That was a cool rivalry for a while.
It was a great rivalry. You know what? The Saints and Falcons were a great rivalry back in the day.
They had a good game today.
Know, Patriots, Bills. Believe it or not, was decent at one point until Brady came, and they won like 18 out of 20.
It seems like
there's no stick out to me.
What about the Steelers and the Browns? And I mean, it seems like the Steelers always had one.
Steelers Ravens.
Yeah.
College football, I think I want to say, if I have to say one in college football, I want to say like Auburn, Alabama, because I've had some good
Michigan,
games.
Ohio State. It's still Michigan, Ohio State in college. It really is.
I don't know. How is that, though, Maz? They've won twice in 19 years or 18 years.
I know, but if you ask anybody that just knows college football a little bit on the street, they would know that rivalry.
Look how often a coach's tenure hangs on that. I mean, that's what most people are upset about, is that he couldn't beat Ohio State.
I think that's going to disappear, though, because I think at this point, honestly, if Michigan was... let's see, they're 2-4. If they were 5-1 and they lost, not a blowout to Ohio State, I don't think Jim Harbaugh loses his job. And I don't think the next coach that comes in can be expected to beat Ohio State for at least 4 or 5 years.
And the ridiculous thing of all ridiculous things, if he beat them, would it save his job?
Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might.
Yeah.
It might.
They have no chance.
Because that game matters. No, I'm not. I don't think they do. They're 30-point underdogs, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like this argument because I don't like arguing on behalf of Ohio State, but 56-27, 62-39, they won by 11 in 17. They had a 2 overtime game.
That game was a hell of a lot closer. Let me ask you,
hey guys,
game.
Is this the biggest spread in that history?
Oh, yeah. I think it's Michigan's biggest spread
it's
in like 44 years.
Seriously, 30 points?
Yeah.
I don't remember Michigan getting 30 points.
I don't either.
Ever. I think before that they said it was about 20. I think it was 27 in 2008 to Penn State, and they Penn State
was
covered.
Was that Rich Rod?
Yeah, and Penn State covered.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, let's see. 56-27, 62-39, 31-20. Then there was a double overtime game. That was a great game.
That was when they shorted Michigan, right? Is that the game when they shorted them?
And the officials were on Facebook was an Ohio State fan. I remember that.
He lived in Ohio, obviously.
And then 42-13, 2015. 2014, 42-28. I don't remember that game too well. 14 points.
2 years ago, weren't we winning at the half?
Yeah.
Was it Michigan winning at the half?
That was the one I was referencing, and that game was closer than
the 31-20 game. Yeah, that was when O'Horn played okay.
O'Horn.
Oh, wait, what's his name?
O'Horn.
O'Horn. O'Horn. 2013, that crazy game, 42-41.
That was where Hoke went for two with the broken-footed Devin Gardner.
Yeah.
Wow.
26-21 in 2012, Ohio State won. In 2011, Michigan won 40-34 against the Luke Fickell Ohio State team. For some reason, I don't even remember that game being a 6-point game. It just seems like Michigan won that game easily. But was it close?
I think it was close.
The score was close.
I think that was the, wasn't that Braxton Miller's big come out game?
God, I don't remember. I just remember that did Ohio State lose 5 games that year?
They're 6-6.
Oh, 6-6. Okay. 2010, Michigan lost 37-7. 2009, Michigan lost 21-10. 2008, Michigan lost 42-7. 2007, was that Lloyd's last year, 2007?
Yeah.
They lost 14-3. Now, 2006, 42-39.
That was a great game. That was the number one versus number two.
That was when Bo died.
Yeah.
Bo Schembechler died. The year before
that. That's where I broke on WXYT.
That's right.
That's where I broke Bo's death.
Yeah.
Wait, you broke Bo's death?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the phone with Don Shane when he was on the stretcher with Bo Schembechler.
Wait, did I not know that, or was I not paying attention when you told me that the first time?
You probably weren't paying attention. You probably wanted that coffee.
Maz, did you get credit for it?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You broke the story on XYT AM?
That doesn't do it for credit, Drew.
But London Spindler. Spindler and Lund.
How long was your reign at XYT?
Well, we were the first morning show when they switched over to the new name, Detroit, the sports station, I think they called it.
Uh-huh.
We were the first morning show. I think we lasted like a year and a half or something like that.
Yeah, boy. What do you think the show... If you had to reprogram that show, what would you want to add to it?
around the globe, spanning the globe?
I'll tell you this. Don Lund is a phenomenal radio personality. Didn't get a chance here in Detroit. I will tell you that. That's a fact.
Where is he now?
He's in San Francisco at KNBR.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a move up.
Yeah, he's kicking ass. He's doing really well. He does the 49ers, does a lot with the 49ers and the Raiders out there.
Wait, so why did he get it handed to him on Detroit Sports Station?
Because they mishandled that station as well. But you know what? It turned into 97.1.
That's
so
true.
They did something right.
Well, 2005, Ohio State won 25-21. I don't remember that game.
That's the Troy Smith comeback game.
Boy, you guys, what a memory you got, man.
Jesus. 2004.
Mark, how do you remember this shit?
Michigan was number 7 in 2004, and they lost 37-21. And then the year before that is the year Michigan also won, 2003, 35-21.
That was the Navarre game, right? Wasn't that Navarre?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I was on the air with that team back then. I was still doing the Michigan pre-half and post. Just figured I'd add that in.
Columbus, 2002, Michigan lost 14-9, and then Ann Arbor, Ohio State won 26-20 in 2001. And then before that, that's when you see more blue in this rivalry. Michigan won, you know, the Cooper years. Michigan dominated.
I should get you John Cooper for the show.
No thanks.
Wait, John Cooper?
What's he doing now?
Is he alive?
He was the Bengals, what do they call those guys that hang out and give advice?
Oh, consultant.
Consultant. He was a consultant. I'm not sure. I think he's retired now.
Those guys that hang around
three
and give out fake advice.
He's a terrific guy, man. And he laughs at himself. He says, you know, you Michigan people love me, you know, because, you know, you guys kicked my ass. So he's very good. He plays a good foil again.
I feel like Maz is setting me up in case Spielman falls through.
Ohio State football fans refer to Michigan as the school to the north.
Uh-huh.
Is that who I think it was?
Yeah, David Trump. Huge Buckeye fan.
Please forgive me if you're a Michigan fan, because I'm a Ohio State fan.
When did we get him to say that?
That was when I did a whole bunch of bits with him, and none of them, I don't think any of them got any airtime.
What?
You guys didn't like it. I played one, and you guys didn't like it, and so we just scrapped it.
You guys? I
don't remember any of this.
You don't remember when you guys told me it was too long and it wasn't good?
Was I still on the show?
But I have a whole bunch of different cuts from them.
We should probably bring them out.
Now's the time, Brandon.
You know, I'm just looking at the Cooper years, though, which Michigan so dominated. Let's see, 76. When does Cooper come in after Earl Bruce in 85, 86?
That was Spielman's last year. He loved Earl Bruce. That was his man.
Oh,
yeah, the head man.
Ohio State won that his last game, 23-20.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. I mean, that's one of those rare times that it was just a cool game, even though the wrong team won.
He was fired at the time. That was his last game.
That's right. But in 88 in Columbus, Michigan won 34-31. 89, Michigan won 28-18, 16-13, and 90.
It was a rivalry. That's when it was a rivalry.
31-3 in 91, the 13-all tie in 92. Wow, 28-0 in 93. That was a number 5 Ohio State team, too. Then Ohio State.
What's their record from 2000 to now?
Ohio State versus Michigan?
Michigan's won three times.
17-3.
That's pretty bad, man. That's
If you go back to just 2001, it's 17-2 in the last 19 years.
But from 85 to 99, when Ohio State beat them three times, no one was saying, that's not a rivalry.
Well, there's some pretty good games. Yeah, there's some pretty good games in there.
You don't think there's been good? No, obviously, the last two have been fucking blowouts.
A half a dozen good games in the 2000s. That's it.
You know what I would say, though, about the John Cooper years was there were games where Ohio State was so high-ranked and Michigan was not so high-ranked, and Michigan upset the shit out of them. Like the 13-9 game in 96, Michigan was 21, Ohio State was 2, and Michigan won 13-9.
The Yakupituga game was the big one.
Which year is that?
95.
Oh, 31-23, but that's a pretty good game. Ohio State was number 2, Michigan was number 18.
I think Michigan blew them out, didn't they?
31-23. I mean, I don't remember that.
I don't remember that game being close, though.
And then 97, 20-14, Ohio State was number 4, and I think Ohio State scored twice in the fourth quarter, and they did have a chance to win it, but I think Michigan's defense held them off. 24-17 in 99, 38-26. Those are some pretty good games in there, but I just, too many that are, well. Anyway, any other rivalries you want to bring up, Maz?
In the NFL?
Anywhere. I mean, they always call this the biggest rivalry in sports.
Period. Nadal and Federer.
NBA, NCAA.
Lakers-Celtics.
You got Duke-UNC. That is a great rivalry.
That is a great one.
I just think college athletics in general, the rivalries are a little different. They mean a little more because of people's allegiances. Sometimes
Rutgers-Monmouth.
Rutgers-Monmouth.
What's that one, Brandon? Lehigh and
Lafayette.
Yeah, the Lehigh-Lafayette rivalry.
How about Army-Navy?
It's the oldest rivalry in sports.
There it is.
You can't change that. All right.
I'd love to go to an Army-Navy game in Philadelphia. One of these years, I'm gonna get there.
Get out of here.
Why haven't you yet?
I don't know. I just haven't gone. You know, and I could have went a couple times when it was at Giant Stadium, and I just never went.
How bad do you think the girls want to go?
Not you know, they might. They'll enjoy it because they would think the pageantry is amazing.
They'd be psyched for the trip, wouldn't they?
Fans of pageantry.
They'd do anything to go to New Jersey, believe me.
Maz, finally, because we have you here, and I'm so desperate for this Chris Spielman interview, I just want you to keep me on your brain.
I got you.
Any comments on the Sarah Fuller co-special teams player of the week awarding or the whole thing in general?
Well, it was a great kick by her, squibbed, right then. Almost went out of bounds, but that guy saved her and jumped on it, and that locked it up for her. I mean, I'm congratulations to her. And who was on the call today for the Vikings game?
Oh.
Vikings and Jacksonville? Who was on the call?
Who?
What's her name? Not Pam Ward.
Trickoration?
The other one.
Who?
The other one.
The other one, there's a leak too.
Yeah, there's. I know who you're talking about.
Beth Mowins?
Beth Mowins.
Was it really Beth Mowins?
Beth Mowins on the call. I think it was the first time that she called an NFL game on a week, like on a Sunday, because she did that Monday night.
That's right.
A couple years.
Are you going to get her for the rap with Maz?
No.
What?
I can't even put the game on. I'm sorry.
Can you get Katie Hinaida for the rap with Maz? Can you get her for our show, Katie Hinaida?
Wow. That was an old name.
I hope she doesn't break down like she did watching the Vanderbilt game. Maz, as far as Beth Mowin, it's interesting. I've heard her do games, and she's very well prepared. She does a passable job. But I was reading about her. This is a while back. I could probably find it if I really look. But there was an article about how every time she does a game, they get massive complaints, and the internet lights up. And it's like, I would be so miserable if you got that kind of shit reaction every time, and you're actually prepared. I mean, it's kind of bullshit. But I don't know if women will ever be accepted as play-by-play people the way men are. I don't know why.
I just can't. I'm sorry. And you know what? My buddy Dan Dickerson, he hates when I say anything like that. He's like, how about your daughters? How about, you got to be ashamed of yourself. And I'm like, well, you listen to her. I don't want to listen to her.
Yeah, that's sorry. Exactly. Yeah. You listen to her. That's great, man. All right.
I'm like, don't be a play-by-play person. Don't.
Show it.
Do something else.
Maz, I'm pumped for our start time with Spielman. Whenever you get it, please let us know quickly.
You got it. Is there any particular time? I know you gave me a bunch of a window from like noon to 7.
Yeah, I said
closer to noon.
We could start as early as 1 o'clock or noon. Yeah, we start noon for Chris Spielman. We'll do anything for Spielman.
Well, don't forget Wednesday, Drew. I'm coming in to record our little video.
All right. When? I'll be ready. Yeah, get him for Wednesday.
Oh, maybe I'll sit in.
There you go. Two balls with one
That's
ball.
That's it. All right, I'll lock it up. You got it, guys.
Okay, man, sounds good.
Get out of here.
Can you feel me near you?
Stupid idiot. Get the f*** out of here.
Tommy, can you see
Okay, the breakingest news I can think of from the whole weekend is that it appears, by all accounts, that the Rudy Giuliani fart is real.
Yeah, both of them, I guess. I guess there were two farts.
Really farted twice? Yeah, I heard the one. I mean, that's a real fart.
I still don't believe it. I don't know why.
Brandon, do you believe it?
Yeah, sure.
I could swear I've heard that fart before.
Let me rephrase it.
Farts are like snowflakes. There's no two farts exactly alike. And I could swear I've heard that fart before. That's why I thought someone put it over the audio.
I believe it in as much as that a representative that was there said he did. Like, they heard it there. But I just...
Was it a Democrat?
It was, yeah. So maybe he's lying.
That's so funny.
The answer that I gave you is they didn't bother to interview a single witness. Just like you... They don't want to know the truth.
That timing just doesn't seem right in his cadence.
Interview a single witness.
It seems like it'd be somebody
else. Pause.
Do you have to pause to fart though?
Usually,
sometimes can talking force it out?
Can you fart while Brandon? Can you fart while you're talking?
Yeah, I guess I've never really. Yeah, I'm sure I can.
I think it's a misnomer to suggest that you have to pause to fart. I don't think that's fair.
You somehow made farting even cooler.
I have to say, I watched SNL before the show today,
and
I was so incredibly disappointed at the fart sound they used.
Oh, yeah, it was
why
not
did they use
no,
such a...
I know.
Why would they have it's a better funny. Sound
I,
effect?
I don't know. It was a
that
very...
It was horrible.
I would describe it as cartoonish. It was a very cartoonish fart, but I thought that bit was pretty good. With the way that Cecily Strong played Melissa Carone.
She was probably good.
And then I laughed at the impersonation of, because one of Rudy Giuliani, in the bit, one of Rudy Giuliani's witnesses was...
Pete name? Davidson and the...
No, the actress Nicole Kidman from The Undoing.
Oh, yeah. It was like a lot of stuff they do to me. It just goes on and on
The cold opens are too long.
And the crowd goes ballistic as soon as they show Kate McKinnon as Rudy Giuliani. Like, oh, my God, she's a girl!
You guys do take it and do something crazy to it?
Yeah.
She's a girl playing a guy!
Yeah, I'm not a fan of her impersonations.
Yeah, I mean, she's very talented. But that's just not my favorite moment when I see her as Rudy, because I just know it's Kate McKinnon right away. And I know the crowd will will overreact.
I don't think it's a good impersonation.
It's not. No, it's really not.
She doesn't talk like this. She doesn't have a lisp.
Does he have his fingers like this, too, where he
does?
No. You know, it's what's weird is in one sense, there's people who are like, you know, how dare you guys make fun of that reporter who did the, you know, when Trump did the, I don't remember. And then the same people like laugh at the imitation of Giuliani with a completely fake farcical
Giuliani doesn't
hand
have
gesture.
As far as I know, he doesn't have a muscular disease.
I've never noticed that at all. I mean, I've never noticed his hands like that, though. But she is suggesting that something's wrong with his hands. My biggest problem in general with, like, Alec Baldwin as Trump, and every time they do something to make fun of the Republicans is... The basic character of any Republican, whether it's Giuliani or Melissa Carone. That's the blonde witness.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I can go to prison.
The MyPillow guy, Pete Davidson, the other guy, they were playing the kidnappers. Is it anyone who is a Republican they're making fun of is stupid? They're just dumb. I mean, they confuse words. They don't understand facts. I mean, they're just dumb. It's not really based on anything else. And I don't think they're that dumb. This is certainly, well, actually, this whole thing is kind of dumb. But yeah, I think it was that funny because it went on and on and on. The fart appalled me. I was livid that they didn't use a real fart. Hey, why would they do that? That was so disappointing. I mean, I can't express how disappointed I was. Also, the other thing that was kind of strange about it, and I shouldn't even think about it, but was Melissa Carone drunk when she did this?
Well, I mean, she says no. I mean, how are you supposed to know? No. I think the idea is that she was acting in a way that people would be led to believe that she
was
drunk.
Did you think she was drunk?
I thought the behavior was weird.
Do we have any audio of that? I mean, can we just play
of her whole thing?
No, just a minute of it or something. I just want to
hear. What do you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it.
I mean, play that if you can find the minute long clip. Yeah, I mean, her speech pattern was weird. I don't know if she was drunk or if she was on something. Probably not. I would hope
it's
not.
Just really.
But she is fucking weird. I'm sorry.
Oh, she was definitely out there. I didn't see that much of it, but what I saw was like, oh my God, what a shit show.
The whole book is completely off. Completely off. Off that 30,000? I'd say that poll book is off by over 100,000.
Even though, like 2 minutes before that, she said 30,000.
Why don't you look at the registered voters on there? How many registered voters are on there? Do you even know the answer to that?
No, I guess I'm trying to get to the bottom of this here.
Zero. There's zero.
So...
My zero registered voters.
Is if the
guess how many? Wait, what about the turnout rate? 120%.
Let's let Representative Johnson ask his question.
So the poll book number. There's two things that could happen here. Either the poll book number, if ballots were counted multiple times, there's two options. Option number one is that the poll book numbers are not going to match. The actual. Not by thousands and thousands of votes. That's not what we see right now.
Take a look again.
Option number two is that...
She doesn't sound drunk to me. I don't know. I mean, she certainly did not...
Dead people, too?
So is that... Let's I guess, is that
I don't think she helped the cause.
And then we had to find out about all that salacious stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on to that for a second, because I was just starting to read that, and I got distracted today, and I didn't get to read it. But she goes after... is it ex-girlfriends of her boyfriend or husband or something?
Ex-wife of her now fiance.
Okay.
She said...
I just want to finish one thing, though. As far as the, you know, their approximation of her, it really makes no difference to me one way or the other. It's like, is it funny in the end? And I didn't think it was terribly funny, although she was good. The girl that played her was good.
I thought it was funny. I don't know.
But
it was a wacky appearance she had in front of the Senate or the
I was more intrigued by the fact that they said she was drunk. I mean, the bit was suggesting she was drunk, and
Everybody on Twitter thought she was too.
No, but I mean, everyone can Twitter can think what they want. Anyone can think what they want. But when you go on national television and you say someone's drunk, it's like, obviously there's so little fear of any legal action now.
Well, it's
kind of amazing, almost. Yeah, parody does give you a lot of freedom, but maybe because she was in that, maybe she's a public figure now. I never knew who she was.
Maybe.
Well, no one knew who she was until she did that, yeah.
So, but it's just...
But she did show up at a public forum and give her public name.
Yeah, but to say someone's drunk is it's pretty... again, I think the whole thing is so loose now.
People say it all the time. People say it about the president being on Adderall or whatever. I mean,
well, the president is a very, 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 very public figure. But anyway, Brandon, what's the story with the exes?
No, it's just they found out that she had been in trouble and for sending basically her homemade sex porn to ex-girlfriends of her fiance or whatever, which is hot.
It's pretty hot, pretty wild too. She was kind of cute in a weird way.
No, she is really she's cute.
You guys can fight over.
I'll take her. She's obviously wild. If she's sending homemade porn, I mean, she makes porn at home, so she's pretty wild.
They also allegedly, well, no, not even allegedly, because she was on probation for it, but harassed her, excuse me, the ex-wife for about 2 years. And the two were outside of Southgate Courthouse after she had a fake, I guess she had a fake Facebook account that she was harassing her with as well. So
why is it so easy to have fake accounts?
Fun person, because you don't need anything to make an account.
I know, but wouldn't you think they would really find a way to stop people from doing that? Well, I mean, what good ever comes from a fake account? It's always for bad reasons.
Sure.
But there seems to be no exercising of any effort whatsoever to stop people from doing
it's
that.
It's kind of fun watching that guy's fake Matt Patricia account. that we thought was a burner account.
It's amusing, too. But what happened? People in the media said, Matt Patricia has a fake account, and here's what he did. And then you find out that, no, it wasn't Matt Patricia, so it really didn't do anyone any good. It hurt Matt Patricia.
Jessica, the ex-wife, told police that Carone drove around the parking lot twice and yelled, fuck you, and gave her the finger. What I don't understand is she has the guy now, and that's the ex-wife. Why are you harassing the ex? You won.
That's pretty strange. Sending porn to someone, that is really wild, man.
But to what end? I don't understand why she was.
It seems to me she's pouring salt in the wound. If there's a wound, is the person really? Was the woman really trying to get him back?
I think you're kind of proving the point, like of good riddance at that point.
Well, I think if anything, you're kind of saying that you really shouldn't be with anyone if you do shit like that.
Yeah. More importantly, look at these pictures, yo.
Let me switch.
Oh, well, what pictures?
Ones I've been showing you guys.
Wow. I didn't see any pictures.
Yeah, you know what? Other thing that kind of pissed me off, and all you haters on Reddit and all you haters on Facebook and Twitter, this girl got a lot of shit for graduating from ITT Technical Institute, my alma mater. All you elites in your colleges.
Why did she get shit for that?
Because it's, according to everybody online, it was a loser education, so I guess I'm a loser.
Wait.
Since when?
Haven't you made fun of it yourself because they don't exist anymore?
Way to rub it in, Mark.
Well, no, I'm just asking.
Rub it in.
It was honestly a serious question.
I got to tell you, we had a better rivalry with Michigan Tech than Ohio State and Michigan rivalry. You ever heard about the ITT technical football team?
No, they still playing?
We were fucking tough as shit, tough as nails. And our quiz bowl team.
But I've heard you.
But anyway, everybody was giving her all this shit for going to that school. Drew gives everybody shit for going to Specs Howard. I have to feel so terrible.
Why did I give anybody shit?
I have to feel so terrible about my education. Anybody else want to rip on Emily City High School while you're at it?
Racist, but other than that.
I think you're thinking of Almont.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I went to Emily City.
Probably racist, too.
Home of Circus Kirkus.
It's not true.
His murdering brother.
Yeah, Brandon, why did you not reveal that Circus Kirkus's brother had a little problem with murder?
It's not relevant to the story. You didn't watch The Dark Knight and say, hey, why did we watch this Batman movie and then not talk about his brother who murdered somebody?
Terrible analogy.
What are you talking about? How is it an analogy?
Wait. I am very much into true crime. I mean, on that level alone, it seems to me there'd be interest in it, but you seem to be so protective of Circus Kirkus for some reason.
I don't know the story. I really don't. So I couldn't comment on
it. Well, you knew a lot about it when we were texting about it the other day.
I knew David personally. I knew David's younger brother. I didn't know this older brother. Nobody's even ever heard of him. He probably didn't even grow up in Emily City. He probably has no connection to David. So I didn't want to bring it up.
He's his brother. What do you mean he has no connection? He's his brother.
So? I mean, people meet their brothers every day.
Just take place our conversation on a Mark and Brandon combined
sequence.
We know the story. I don't know the story.
I thought we were talking about Melissa Carone.
We were. I want to come back to her, too.
Love Melissa.
I think she's hot. Those pictures are hot.
Thank you.
What are they from?
Well, this is when she was 31, so I don't know how old she is now.
2 years ago.
Okay.
So she looks, and those pictures are hot. I don't care what anybody says.
And she has modeling pictures because she also has an Explore talent.
5'2", 104. She's got great, she's got a rack on her. My God.
She looks a little bit like Snooki.
No,
she's orange. No,
okay, Twitter poll.
Nothing like Snooki.
If you could be with this person for sex and sex only, would you prefer Melissa Carone or Snooki?
Oh no, because I'd rather be with Melissa Carone than Snooki.
What?
Yeah,
you said she looks like Snooki.
I said those pictures did. Yeah.
It's not even close. They're not even in the same ballpark.
Okay.
This girl, look at her waist, too. She's got a tiny little waist on her. I mean, she's really got, she's got some pretty nice curves. Okay, what is that picture? Holy moly.
Where?
This one that Brandon
just... I don't think these ones are real.
Oh, they're not real. Why would somebody make a fake picture out of that? I don't understand.
No, I'm just looking for a picture that I found the other day, but obviously she's been in the news so much that now all the picture searches are completely different. Yeah. Oh, here's the one I was looking for.
Whoa, yeah. Man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I mean, admit it, she's crazy. She made some pretty kooky testimony, and kooky activity with the exes.
What's that picture? What's that profile picture, the Twitter one?
It was from Pinterest.
No. Two to the right of that one.
This is her Facebook.
Oh.
The one where she's on TV somewhere. Yeah. She's in a kitchen.
Well, she's been on, Lou Dobbs has interviewed her a bunch.
About this?
Yeah.
She's been on Fox. Yeah, she's been all over the place.
Ton.
I mean, does she...
Wasn't her first appearance the other day.
Does she have appearances that went better than this one? Because this one did not go well.
I can't imagine having ones that went worse.
Is that her on the right, too?
No.
It's her, too, when she was younger.
She's pretty, man.
Is that really her?
She's hot. I mean, she's sexy. Maybe, I mean, crazy sexy, but crazy sexy could be kind of wild. Anyway, going back to Circus Kirkus.
I don't think we have to really go back to it because we know that he had a successful collegiate career, Hall of Fame collegiate career.
We do, and we're all very proud of him for that.
Four sport letterman at Emily City High School.
Having the humility to work at Subway, even though he did call his mom in to clean up.
That happened
once. Maybe if a mom showed enough support to the brother. Some people are saying.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I don't. I don't know the story.
I backed into the conversation on our text string. And first of all, previously I had sent a picture of Phineas on COVID area creativity, not being starstruck. And he is wearing a white sweater with a, Mike Clark would call it a salmon colored shirt. I would call it pink. Checked pants. And he's got one red sock, one purple sock. And he's sitting, I don't know, this is just not a very flattering or manly picture in any way, shape, or form. And I said, Brandon's idol. Brandon immediately responds, he plays more instruments than Paul McCartney. I said, what instruments does he play that McCartney doesn't play? The octobass, sharpsichord, and fluba. Are you aware of how many instruments McCartney has played? Just that are mentioned in credits. And then somehow the conversation was dropped at that point, and it went to boom! David Kirkus appeared to be a rising fan entering the 2007 season. After he spent 2005 working at Subway, Kirkus returned to the NFL. Could have been the Broncos' next breakout star. So then I said, Brandon's Subway stint getting national publicity. His mom got no credit in the story for cleaning up. Brandon comes in. That was his second stint at Subway. I worked with him in Imlay City Subway in 99 and 2000. Yes, he had multiple Subway ventures. I can't confirm or deny that his mom assisted him with the closing duties the second time around. I said, is he still moving on the Subway team?
Where was your mother?
Stop doing a deep dive on Kirkus. You're going to find all the stuff I've been hiding from you guys. He's a legendary multi-sport talent at ICHS. He could dunk. He's the Babe Ruth of HCS, dominating sports without any other people. Well, I don't even know if we need to repeat that. Emily said he's not responsible. Yeah, I'll skip that.
I don't even know what I said here.
You had to censor
me?
You said Emily said he's not responsible for the lack of diversity in other schools in the BWAC.
Because
we play in the BWAC, so I can't help. I couldn't help what other I can't help that Richmond or KPAC or, you know, what other.
I was just censoring the conversation because it was unnecessary. Because then all of a sudden I discovered something else following the Subway thing that Anthony Edwin Kirkus, 30, made the admission to Scottsdale Police after his arrest Tuesday afternoon in Las Vegas, where he was being held on a second-degree murder warrant. And I was like, what? And I immediately sent it to Brandon. Alexander, and his wife of, was it 6 days or 4 days or something, was 47. She was 17 years old, which is kind of weird. Died about 1:30 a.m. Sunday of multiple blows to her torso and head and asphyxiation. The murder appears to be a barehanded assault. Whoa.
Jesus.
So then I had the Kirkus brothers' age difference dealio is entirely real. The surprise wedding Kirkus bro is 20% older than his bride. That was not David Circus Kirkus. That was the other brother who was in the Daily Mail. Wasn't that the other?
Oh, you're thinking of his, Eddie is his younger brother. I knew Eddie. In fact, I got into a little fisticuffs with Eddie when we were youngsters. Yeah,
really?
We were youngsters, though.
Was this around a Subway job?
In the day, It was at
Did his mom
Emily
jump
Shee
in
High
and
School.
Beat you up?
No, she cleaned up.
It was at Emily City High School basketball game where Dave Kirkus was known for doing dunks all the time because he was the fucking man. And somehow or another, we got into a little quarrel in the bathroom with weird.
Over whose dick was bigger?
No, but
what was the fight over?
That was in middle school.
Anyway, I brought up the fact that the other Kirkus brother, he was in the Daily Mail in this weird story about proposing, I had done the math and determined he was 20% older than his bride. The murderer Kirkus bro was 17 years younger than his wife, the victim of the Kirkus family murder gene. For the record, Circus Kirkus is lucky he didn't murder the guy he took the lie detector for. To prove he beat the fuck out of him, the murder gene was clearly activated in this incident. I just read the murder story. I had no clue it was a 17-year-old story. You've been covering up a murder for 17 years, Brandon, all out of love and loyalty to Circus Kirkus. Brandon says, I may have withheld that minor detail. I'm sure Paul McCartney isn't murdering a pedophile brother we don't talk about either. I don't know why that came up. Let's see. Just to prove the Kirkus brothers' age difference relationships is a real thing. Oh, yeah. I don't know why I sent that. No wonder he murdered Mark. No wonder he murdered someone with all the attention mom was giving to Kirkus. Circus Kirkus. Brandon, that's a speculative comment. It's not related to the athletic prowess of David. How much do you think I could get for this signed helmet? Brandon, that's a signed helmet by Circus Kirkus?
Yeah, it was a gift from Mark.
For real?
In like 2014.
Yeah,
or
I don't really know where I got it from.
Wow. Yeah. And then I said the helmet's probably worth $50 with the signature, probably loses half its value.
Oh.
Maybe it could be scrubbed off. And Brent says, you're trying to be hurtful. Hall of Fame. And then Mark starts putting pictures of other people in the same Hall of Fame. Hey, there's Steph Coleman, whoever she is.
She's the Hall of Famer.
Arnold Lubbers in the 2008 Hall of Fame.
It was like 90 years old.
Yeah, and he did a lot for GVSU.
I'm not disputing that. So did Kirk.
Brandon's such an advocate for GVSU all of a sudden.
And anything Emily City is really.
When Brandon's an advocate for something, it is just, there's no stopping him.
I just didn't think that this part of the story ever needed to be told. Did you guys know that he caught a touchdown from Joey Harrington? It was like a 50 fucking yarder. And you can't even find it on YouTube.
I remember that. I do remember
that. You
can't
even find it on YouTube because he did like the most incredible celebration dance of all time. And they pulled it. They said, you know what, YouTube, if you want this shit, you got to buy it. So you can't even find it online. If somebody can find it, I'm telling you.
Huh.
Greatest catch. One of the greatest catch in Detroit Lions football history.
It was a circus catch.
I mean, we're talking about Jonathan Nolan, who is like the director of Westworld, and he's got a brother named Christopher Nolan, who did all these famous Batman movies. But we don't talk about Matthew Nolan, the one who was a kidnapper and a murderer. We don't talk about
well,
him.
If
so
I
don't know why
it,
you got to talk
I,
about
I mean, I don't
this
know
guy that I didn't even know. He
me.
Didn't go to school with me.
I just
he didn't
know
go
why,
to Subway. He didn't work with Subway with me.
Why didn't he be put under the rug?
He wasn't the best athlete in Emily City since Rick Granata.
What was that, 94? I think he was in my class. Yeah.
It's certainly interesting, though, when someone that holds in as high as esteem as Brandon Circus Kirkus, that their brother murdered someone with their bare hands. It's certainly of interest, I think.
Allegedly.
No, I think he was convicted, wasn't he?
I don't know the story. I didn't look into it. I don't even think he got any coverage in Emily City, because I don't think he personally is from Emily City. I think he might have just...
Where'd Granada
go to
college?
Spontaneous. What's a spontaneous birth? Not spontaneous birth. He's immaculate conception.
I think Rick Granada went to Eastern, right?
He did? I didn't know that. Yeah. Man, he was a legend.
He sure was.
Just
still is.
Back to Rudy and Saturday Night Live. Did you guys see the thing they did on this on Stan, the Eminem song, Stalking Santa?
It was really good.
It was pretty funny, but... he's, you know, Santa, you got bitch tits, and he's going on and on, and once he gets pissed at him because Santa's not responding. And I was kind of enjoying the bit. And then I got annoyed because they included the Elton John part of the bit.
Yeah.
Like which Horatio Sanz.
Yeah.
And, wait, who played Eminem in that?
In the last one?
The one where Horatio Sanz is Elton John made out
Chris
with Eminem.
Chris Parnell.
After they did Stan, which is hilarious, and Elton's wearing that orange and pink polka dot.
Yeah, the same one he wore at the Grammys. Yeah, they rolled
That's
around.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a funny, funny bit. So, why was that Asian guy playing Elton John?
I don't know.
And I don't know, did he write all the bad lines? Because it wasn't funny at all. And I'm like, wait, where's Horatio Sanz? Is he suddenly unavailable?
Yeah, they didn't need the Eminem or the Elton part. But they already had the Dido part.
So. I thought it was kind of weird, though, is Horatio Sanz that hard to get a hold of? Because he was perfect as Elton John, I thought.
He's busy these days. Horatio Sanz is in The Mandalorian, or at least two episodes of The Mandalorian.
How long did it take you to find out that that was Horatio Sanz?
I didn't know it until I saw the credits, and I was like, "Oh, really?" What?
I was watching, going, "God, who is that guy?" He looks really. I had to look it up. I'm like, "What?" Horatio Sanz, because he's all made up, right? And blue, and
are you just mad that Elton John was portrayed by an Asian, and you think he needs to be portrayed by a white guy?
I feel like somebody's trying to shove this Asian guy down my throat, and I don't think he's very funny.
Well, how about?
Has he done a funny bit yet?
But I don't mind him.
I don't mind him, but I just feel like he's sort of like their new star. But except that he doesn't do funny stuff, which is pretty critical.
He's done.
I can't. Like, what do you like bits that he's done?
He said he can't name one that he's done.
Oh, I thought you said you liked him.
You see, I thought you were going to go a different route because when I was watching that stew, it's called, you know, instead of Stan, the stew bit, I too thought it was funny. And it was especially the first half of it. I thought it was very well written.
Yeah.
But as I kept watching Pete Davidson, I kept getting annoyed by his tattoos and saying, why the hell did Pete Davidson get a huge Ruth Bader Ginsburg tattoo? Like,
no, he's the Hillary Clinton tattoo too.
I'm so fucking badass. I put Supreme Court justices on my body after I cut myself.
Well, and Secretary of State's too.
Weird, man.
And then Eminem was at the end of that sketch.
Yes.
Which was weird to see.
Yeah, it was kind of odd.
It was a take. It was like double take. Was that really Eminem?
After the guy, yeah, I know he has dark hair. After that guy played Elton John, though, he was in the next bit, which was also, I thought, extremely unfunny. Did I miss something in that bit? Because I didn't seem like the crowd was even laughing.
What was it? I don't remember.
He was playing a host of something. He was a host of a show, and he had some...
must have been pretty forgettable.
Well, did you know that they've been paying the audience? That's their loophole.
Seriously?
Yep. That's their loophole for being able to... That's their loophole to be able to, like, get over the COVID restrictions.
aren't they all first responders?
Why is that okay?
I don't understand. They all receive a check for $150.
Oh, because they're not an audience. They're employees.
Yep.
Well, why can't anyone else just do that?
And so a lot of people are using that to criticize the crowd? A lot of people are using that to go back at Pete Davidson's little rant last night about Staten Island and the COVID.
Did you see the updated story about that?
Wait, what was it? I didn't see his rant. What was his rant?
I didn't see it. He was
mad at the people of Staten Island, you know, that bar that declared themselves an autonomous zone. And they're mad about the COVID restrictions. So that was his rant.
SNL declared their audience staff members.
Well, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, that's funny that they would rag on this bar doing that when they're doing the same thing, but they're being bigger weasels about it. I mean, isn't that kind of the case?
I guess the bar could pay people to go there.
But the bar is just saying, look, we think this is bullshit. And SNL's going, we think it's bullshit, but we're going to pay people so that it looks like we're doing the right thing. I mean, aren't they hiding the fact that basically they're ignoring the restrictions?
Yes.
Aren't they basically spending money? It's sort of like Elton John buying off Prince Harry's mileage on the private jets, saying, I made a donation to, you know, climate control. And so that doesn't count.
Did you see the update on that bar in Staten Island? What happened last night?
I didn't know what happened.
So the police were watching it because they busted the guy. I think they've arrested him twice just to see if he'd do it, you know, if they'd do it again. And they found more patrons going in through a vacant business next door and then a secret door into the bar.
Really?
So they went to go bust the guy and he escaped on foot, gets in his car, hits a deputy.
What?
Deputy hangs onto the car. He's driving with the deputy. Then they said the police somehow got him to pull over and the deputy's in the hospital now. But, you know.
Wow. Man, sounds like
fucking wild.
First class asshole.
The pictures were wild.
Damn. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Somebody sent me something about, or maybe it was in a review or something. I saw where someone said that I want bars to be open because I have a bar. And it's like, first of all, I don't own Mesa anymore. Mesa's sold. So Mesa's not Mesa's not a bar. In fact, the bar isn't even open because at the bar you can sit close to people, so they don't do that. But I think there's a difference between bars and restaurants, where people go and get hammered and they dance and they do what people do at bars, which is very different from when four people go to eat a meal and they sit in chairs that are a few feet apart. I don't think it's the same thing. Plus, I was fascinated on Charlie's show on Friday, which you were here for. And Charlie was talking about the lack of attention on the seniors in the assisted living and the senior foster care places. And we were completely on the same page for that, because those people are dying when they get it. And yet there's so much attention on restaurants and 7-year-olds going to school or 9-year-olds going to school and bowling alleys and workout places. And it seems, wouldn't this attention, and on also on whether people, minorities, are getting it more than non-minorities, and yet there doesn't seem to be any extra attention on seniors who are extremely vulnerable. And was Charlie talking about was it Beaumont where these people kept coming in from the same senior center?
I don't think he named which hospital it was. I can't remember, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then the care facilities wouldn't take them back.
Right.
The hospitals were done with it.
I don't know. I mean, what a mess. It just seems that there's really been very little attention on the one place where people seem to die, which is older people who are pretty vulnerable and probably not in a great position to help themselves. And what a shame that is. And then the other thing Charlie pointed out, which was really kind of funny almost, was these super spreader lists where they go, you know, whether it's supermarkets have this many cases and this many come from the big buy stores, or what do they call them? The big box stores. And then it said Michigan State has one super spreader that involved 2,087 people.
Yeah.
Okay, so someone's playing with the numbers to make them look better or worse for certain people. Why are they doing that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the governor.
I mean, would you be a little distressed to see that someone has one super spreader? But, oh, Michigan State, God, they're doing such a great job there. Oh, 2,087 people.
They call
what a shame.
An outbreak is two or more, so yeah.
Right.
It could be two, it could be 2,000.
2,087, but then on the list, though, it's only listed as one, like one super spreader event, as in
one outbreak.
Pretty much the same as the, how many was it from the restaurants?
It
was
I don't know.
Bigger number. It was, you know, 14 or something. But one involving 2,087 people is a very, I think that's playing with the truth. And anyway, I thought it was a good show. And it was interesting. Charlie is going to do something involving the senior living situation there. Is he going to go live somewhere?
I don't want to say what he's doing, because okay. I don't want it's, it'll be very interesting, but I don't want to get out or.
I see.
I don't want it to have a stop put to it.
Well, if this needs to be bleeped, go ahead and bleep it. But I'm very intrigued to hear next week's show. And,
no, none of that needs to be bleeped. I'll tell you after the show.
Yeah, maybe if you need to, go ahead. That's all right. And also, Ben Blackwell was on with Elric, and I was saying
Tuesday.
I was naturally interested because he's been promoting. There was an article in Spin where they interviewed Ben about the White Stripes Greatest Hits release, which he had a little story about every song. It was really good. And then I was intrigued also because Third Man is putting out the McCartney 3 album.
Yeah, and Ben's a minority owner, one-third owner of Third Man Records, started Cash Records, drummer in the Dirt Bombs.
Dirt Bombs, yeah.
An official, I believe he's the official White Stripes archivist, which what a cool.
It's a pretty cool title.
Yeah,
and he's Jack is his uncle.
Yeah, that's right.
So and they play a lot. They've played a lot of music together over the years, from what I read in the Spin story. So yeah,
I thought he was a good interview.
Sounds like
sure.
Nepotism.
Does he do a podcast? By the way,
I don't know.
I wonder if he
Third Man should.
It seems like Third Man Records should have a podcast. Because, of course, then he could have Jack on.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. But Ben knows a lot of people, and he's got a lot to say. And I know his Third Man keeps popping up in the news, it seems like. You know, they got that Iggy Pop record from that tape that
from
nobody knew existed from Goose Lake. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So good for him, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, they have their own podcast.
Oh, they do?
They do. Right. Is Ben host it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it looks like they did something that was based solely on the White Stripes that came out in 2019 called Striped, the story of the White Stripes. So I see some episodes there. And
well, you'd think he would host it. He's the official archivist.
Yes. What's the podcast called, Brandon?
Striped, the story of the White Stripes.
No, I mean, is there a generic, larger name for it? Is that an episode or is that the whole thing?
It's called Striped, the story of the White Stripes.
Is it one podcast or more than one podcast?
I think it's episodic, right? Or serialized?
The only thing I can find is, I mean, I see multiple episodes. I see
Is it
seasons.
Under the banner of Third Man Records?
Yes, it's called Striped, the story of the White Stripes.
I will check it out. I don't know why it seems so hard to somehow get that information from one person to another person. And I'm not sure if it was the problem of the receiving end or the delivering end or both, possibly. I don't know. It's crazy. But the point was, I just immediately thought, this seems like you could do a podcast with all there is to talk about over there. Man. And I desperately want to know if you heard any of the tracks on McCartney 3, but it doesn't seem that that information is available, or actually he hasn't heard it. I don't know if he tried. I wonder how tight.
He said he has, and I don't know if he has by now.
I know. I wonder how tight that is. If somebody can just pull one off them, if they're printing or making.
Or are you suggesting he should for you? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
I guess it would be pretty bad publicity if you mentioned the fact that you were pulling very much in demand and very secretive records off.
Don't you think they would have pretty tight control over it?
Yes, I do. In fact, I guess something leaked somewhere, not from Third Man, but from somewhere else, and it was off the internet very quickly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people were talking about, I think, a track or a couple tracks.
How dare you do that to Paul?
I know. It was, it comes out, and they want to do as well as they can. It's not about how many sells. I don't think. They just want to be, the last record was number one, so I'm sure they want to try to be top 10 again or whatever. I did... this afternoon, I started this yesterday. It was a really long story. It was very interesting, though, and I was interested in it for a lot of different reasons, many of which would not be apparent on the first reading of the story. Vanity Fair did a long piece on a guy named Doug Band.
Oh, yeah. The donor?
He's a Politico type, but he is a very interesting guy because it seems that for a pretty long period of time, he spent more time with Bill Clinton than anyone. Hmm. And I mean like Chelsea and Hillary combined more time with Bill Clinton. He was everywhere with Bill Clinton. And I thought it was a great story because he starts out as an intern in Bill Clinton's first term in the White House. And apparently Bill Clinton took a liking to him. And of course, he's trying to move up in the world. And by the second term, at a pretty young age, Bill Clinton was a young president. So I guess Bill's about 20 years older than Doug. Actually, maybe a few more than that. But by the second term in the White House, Doug Band was Bill Clinton's body man, which means he's with him everywhere. Everywhere.
He's basically the president's pocket.
Yeah.
So I just
pretty much.
A really weird job.
Yeah. I was really just having a little fun.
It's like our assistant, personal assistant, but they carry all the shit for him.
And they have to be, obviously, just an extremely trusted person because they're always around the president.
It wasn't Obama's the former basketball player?
Yeah, it was the guy that played at Duke.
Name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I wonder what happened to that guy. He seemed like a good guy.
Body man. Does Trump even have one?
That's a good question. He's got to have a body man, doesn't he?
I don't know. Well, I wouldn't think so.
But even more interesting is that Doug Band stayed with Bill Clinton after his second term. And, as I'm reading about this, and I thought this was just a really fantastic article.
Obama's was Reggie Love, and then Trump's had four. John McEntee, Jordan Karam, Madeleine Wusterhout, and Nick Luna. I've never heard of any of those people.
That's really weird that I've never
heard
of those
names.
That's
good, though. That just shows how well-trusted they are. They shut the fuck up. They stay out of the way.
And if there's anything Trump has a problem with, it's people close to him that don't shut the fuck up.
Being dead serious, he's had four really good body men.
So So Doug Benz stays with Bill Clinton afterwards. And at the time, I mean, it's hard to imagine this, but in 2000, when Gore lost the election, Bill Clinton was not in a good place because he had $10 million in legal bills. He was not popular. His approval rating, and it's funny because I don't ever remember his approval rating being low, but at the end of his presidency, it was, because people were sick of his crap.
Sure, Monica.
And what he had, you know, sort of foisted on his good work. And his approval rating was at 38%. He was in all this debt, and he had just pardoned Mark Rich.
Yeah.
And that was an incredibly unpopular pardoning, because the main reason being, and you know, now that as I'm reading this story, I'm going, wow, this wasn't talked about very much, because Mark Rich, and he was criticized roundly for it. But as I was like, what is it? Okay, I know there's a lot about Mark Rich. One, that he had no business getting a pardon. His wife was this beautiful woman who a lot of people thought Clinton was boinking.
Denise, yeah.
And she was pretty.
Denise.
Yeah. You know who she reminds me of a little bit? Is it Melissa Carone?
Oh, really?
She's real busty, blonde. She was pretty. She was. You know, whether you like
I'm wrong, I can go to prison.
Whether you like Melissa Carone or not, or she's very curvy, kind of sexy in her own way, as was Denise Rich. And people really had these suspicions about Denise Rich, but the really much more fascinating thing about it was that Hillary Clinton's brother represented Mark Rich.
Look at that great picture of Bill, Hillary, Denise Rich, and Michael Jackson. Why?
Holy shit.
A weird combination of people there.
Any picture Michael Jackson in just makes everyone else look so weird.
Yeah. Any picture with Jackson and normal people is
it's so strange.
Any picture with Jackson and adults is weird.
And there's Denise Rich with those giant boobs just splayed out. Yeah. One
Jackson
more time.
About to throw up.
So anyway, Hillary Clinton's brother is the one who represented Mark Rich and presented this pardon, which, of course, had not a snowball's chance in hell of going through. And when it happens, like, why did he do that? And it was one of those things, well, it was his last day, and he just ignored all his advice and just said, fuck it. Denise did a lot for the party. But the worst part to me by far was that Hillary Clinton's brother made $250,000 representing him. It's like, how can you do that? It's so bad. But anyway, so Bill Clinton's really not in a good spot. And Doug Band's job is, well, he's still his...
I was really just having a little fun.
He's still his number one advisor, and he's really his everything. And he's the gatekeeper to Bill Clinton. He's really still a body man in every sense. And I'm kind of starting a different place than this story started in. Having graduated from Georgetown Law, Doug Band, and he was in Georgetown Law School while he was doing a lot of work in the White House, too, before he was the body man. So he's obviously a really bright guy, and he became extremely successful as Clinton's is his main man. I don't know what else to call him, because his job, as he saw it, and I think as most people saw it, was to sort of somehow re-elevate Bill Clinton, recreate Bill Clinton.
Rebrand him,
exactly. And so he notices that people are still so drawn to Bill Clinton. Everywhere he goes, people want to talk to him, and he's a great talker, and he tells stories, and people really do like Bill Clinton, as upset as they may be about some of his behavior. There's just something about him, and there always was.
Very personable.
I get it, too. You know, if I could sit and have a couple drinks at happy hour with a president, man, I'd pick Clinton in a second. I think he'd be fun to hang out with.
I'd pick Bush. Because Lord knows where that night's going.
He's a likable guy. Very I mean, Bush, you know, in his way.
Very likable.
And so Doug Band eventually sort of puts the wheels in motion to open up his office in Harlem, which was strategic. Because it says, hey, look, I'm one of the people, and this is a place that you wouldn't expect me to open
everyone's
up, but I'm going to be
through
here.
It, but yeah.
Right. and that's a success. And then he helps him start the Clinton Global Initiative, which is raising all kinds of money for climate change and other things.
The Clintons.
And the Clintons, yeah. Of course, the Clintons, always the Clintons. But this guy also decides that this whole business of Bill Clinton and the vast right-wing conspiracy, which is the first thing Hillary brought up with Matt Lauer when Matt Lauer said, hey, sounds like...
vast right-wing conspiracy.
There's something going on with Bill and this intern. And, you know, the papers and the media was just, you know, the story was just blowing up that... and we didn't even know about the tapes that Linda Tripp had made.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't know about the dress.
I don't think they did either.
No, they didn't. or she would certainly not have turned up on television. And, God, she had the bitchiest face that morning. You remember that? I still remember that appearance.
Yep.
She had sort of that bubble head hair thing. And she was so pissed. Yeah. And she says, now, this is part of the vast right conspiracy out to get my husband.
This vast right wing conspiracy.
Well, in 2001, Doug Band felt that, you know, instead of this endless battle between Bill Clinton and the people on the right, what if he started sitting down and talking to these people and finding out that they have things in common, which of course they do. Mm-hmm. And also he had been thinking about this global initiative and the fact that this vast right conspiracy, right-wing conspiracy, was full of people with lots of money. And
you know, I'm not sitting here as some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette.
These drops are so fantastic, aren't they? They just never die. So Bill does start to meet with a lot of people you would not expect him to meet with. People like Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch. And every time...
How about George? Didn't he hook up with George H.W.?
George H.W., absolutely.
A ton of good work.
He wasn't, I think he, George H.W.
I don't know if that was
H.W.
part of the global initiative or not, but they did a lot of great work together.
Well, and I don't think Bill saw George H.W. as part of the vast right-wing conspiracy against him, or that he was in a big battle with him. In fact, I think there was a...
Such an underrated president.
Man. A relative respect there. Yeah, you know, it's funny, I was thinking about that, how...
Oh, without a doubt.
Two of the presidents I respect the most, George H.W. Bush and Jimmy Carter, are one-term presidents who really, you know, were looked upon so poorly for so long. But, you know, in terms of after their presidency, they both did great things. So anyway, he's got Bill doing a really entirely different thing, trying to reach out to all these people and getting pledges from them, too, that, hey, we're gonna start this thing and it's going to do a lot of things for the world that'll be very good, you know, whether it's getting inexpensive AIDS drugs to Africa and, you know, all these global initiatives. And eventually the Clinton Foundation becomes part of this. Now, it's a separate entity from the Global Clinton Initiative, but in a way there's a relationship. I mean, it's all about raising money. And Doug Band seems to be able to separate people from their money about as well as anyone. Whether it's, you know, the huge sums of money he was getting from some of these people on the right that you wouldn't expect Bill Clinton to be friendly with, or it's just CEOs. But Bill Clinton suddenly is a very friendly guy with a lot of people on Wall Street and a lot of people that maybe you wouldn't expect so much. And they're all pledging money. And, you know, this is the part that bothers me. It's always like, oh, what do they want?
Yeah,
you know, what is it something that they want? Because, yeah, it is something. And the sums of money are gigantic. I mean, phenomenal sums of money. In fact, the story in Vanity Fair estimates, and I recommend reading this article. I thought it was really just fascinating. Not like if you hate Bill Clinton or you love Bill Clinton. It's just fascinating how this stuff works. Doug Band helped raise $70 billion.
Wow.
No, $70 billion.
That's incredible.
On behalf of Bill Clinton. And
all of them probably write-offs?
No, I want a forensic accountant on that $70 billion.
Honestly, think about it. Those big companies that donated, I assume that it's a, what is it, 501c3, where
it's like,
all written off.
Don't you wonder how much money was raised for Black Lives Matter? Because remember, just people throwing millions of dollars in the name of good work.
Are they a nonprofit? Are they an official nonprofit?
Mark, I talked about this the other day. It's really hard to find out exactly how that is set up. And it bothers a lot of people because there are a lot of people who, of course, want to tear it down and say, oh, this is bullshit. What are they really doing with the money? And then there's also people who just want to know. What are they? I mean, how is it set up? And who is in charge?
This isn't the first year they've existed.
No.
They would have to have filed if they are a nonprofit charity.
Look it up because you'll find there's a lot of irritation.
The Global Initiative is, right?
Yes.
And that's a 100% write-off for those businesses.
Mm-hmm. And the sums, again, are absolutely incredible. So now you'd think that some people might be angry about the leveraging of the presidency. And the Clintons' level of greed is, politically speaking, unmatched. If you remember the Clintons' tour, you know, a conversation with the Clintons, and all the money they charge, you know, $10,000 to get a picture after their not-so-sold-out shows. And, oh, we ran the commercial, of course, for the Clinton conversation.
Black Lives Matter is a 501c3, tax-deductible donations.
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of what I was led to understand, but there's a lot of debate about where is this money going to one place first before it goes to Black Lives Matter? Does it go to Black Lives Matter, and then it goes somewhere? I mean, it's
well, if it goes someplace first, you're not getting your write-off.
It's pretty. It's a little complex, and people are having a hard time getting down to exactly how they spend their money and who is in charge and what the hierarchy is. But I don't know. Maybe it's by design or maybe it's not. So anyway, as all this money is pouring in, not just to the initiative and not just to the foundation, but also, you know, all these things on the side that Bill is doing, like speaking gigs, which he did lots of them for lots of money. And Doug Band is negotiating every little bit. And so this giant Rolodex is eventually existing of all these CEOs, all these billionaires. I mean, billionaires, really wealthy, wealthy people. And if you remember, the Clintons were in the business of having defense funds. You know, raising money to pay. They really tried to portray themselves as, we don't have any money. And when he got to the White House, you know, he never made more than $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
And yet he's got these legal defense funds, which are paying all the lawyers involved in the Paula Jones thing, which was another, that's another thing that, you know, Hillary, vast right-wing conspiracy and blah, 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 blah. The truth of the matter is, or as far as we can tell, Bill Clinton pulled his wiener out for a ticket counter who was escorted into a hotel room by state troopers, and it was an ugly story. What about Hillary? And yeah. Bill's beet red face. But anyway, that required a large defense fund and the best lawyers. I mean, he had great, great lawyers, David Boies and people like that, and the impeachment lawyers. And it was kind of the pre-GoFundMe, GoFundMe. For not just the lawyers, but they had another GoFundMe. Well, it wasn't a GoFundMe, but it was like a GoFundMe to buy furniture when they left the White House. Someone said, oh, my God, he's got so many legal debts. Hey, I need people to help buy furniture. It was really – it bothered a lot of people, and it just sounded cheesy. And, you know, he did have – it is true. He had a $10 million legal bill when he got out of the White House. By the way, what do you get for $10 million in legal fees?
Isn't
that fucking amazing?
He wasn't kicked out.
I know.
He got to remain president after being impeached.
But there were really two things there. There was one, being impeached. And, I mean, I guess you could go through all of the, you know, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. And, you know, his affidavit they presented, which is false on behalf of Monica Lewinsky. And the fact that he encouraged her to lie. And then presented this lie in the middle of this Paula Jones case. And it just doesn't seem like $10 million worth of advice to me.
Yeah.
Now, the impeachment thing, I guess that could run into a lot of money. But as I was thinking about this, I was also thinking about Donald Trump and the $170 million they've raised. I'm sure it's gone up since that was the other day. And they were furiously trying to raise more. And I'm like, how much money do they need? And how many people... I mean, I cannot imagine someone asking me, hey, could you give money to the Trump legal fund?
Yeah.
You're like, what the? Are you fucking kidding me?
There's a lot of people that did.
I know they did. And they still are. And they're claiming there's matching funds, too. And it's just, it's such a big pile of money. But anyway, the reason I was thinking about it was because I was watching Rudy Giuliani get humiliated on Saturday Night Live. And I watched Rudy Giuliani with Melissa Carone. And him farting.
What did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it?
And him with dye coming down his face. And I'm thinking, this just is such a shit show. It's just, you know, even if everything, every bit of evidence he had or everything he said was true times 10, it just is being presented so badly. And I thought, why doesn't the Trump, why don't they hire David Boies?
Yeah.
Why don't they hire Alan Dershowitz?
Oh.
Why don't they hire Who's the guy with the long gray
hair?
Might have
to. Rudy might die of COVID in the next couple of days.
He's
in the
hospital. Yeah, Rudy does have COVID.
He's in the hospital right now.
Is it serious? Does it look like it's serious?
Yeah, he's hospitalized for it.
Andrew said he's okay, his kid. But
not on a respirator or anything, is he?
As far as we know, no.
Ventilator, I mean.
He's definitely in the hospital. Did you see the rally, by the way, in Georgia where the people attending the rally turned on Fox News?
No, I did not.
Chanting things. Fox is fake news. Fox is fake news.
You got to be kidding me.
I found out more information.
I'm not kidding you. I still get emails from people say, stop saying Fox News like they're a Republican. They have turned on Trump. They're anti-Trump, never Trump. And I'm like,
why?
Oh, you know, I don't believe that.
Oh, to that point.
I don't believe that.
The failing Washington Post.
Yes.
Surveyed every Republican in Congress to all 220 members of the GOP.
To ask them if they support Trump's effort to...
No, just who won the election, basically.
Oh, okay. And?
Who won the election?
220 House reps and...
I guess that's the total of House.
Okay. I think it's more like 213, and they got a couple others that are still outstanding.
All of Congress. So who won the election? 27 Joe Biden, 2 Donald Trump, 220. We don't know yet. Do you support or oppose Trump's continuing efforts to...
220, don't know yet.
Yeah.
And this was anonymous?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well,
Trump tweeted out that he wants to know who the people are. Do you support or oppose...
We always have to punish people if they don't believe the right thing. That's pretty commonplace these days.
Do you support or oppose Trump's continuing efforts to claim victory? 232, unclear, no answer. 8 support, 9 oppose.
Wait, 230 are unclear?
Yeah, or just won't give an answer. Because he's the... How
big a fucking pussy can you be?
Because he's not disappearing. He is the...
Either
face of the party.
Say... Oh, come on. You know, that just says it all. Doesn't that say it all?
If Joe Biden wins a majority of the Electoral College, will you accept him as the legitimately elected president of the United States? 32 yes, 2 no, 215 unclear, no answer.
Wait, do you say these are just the Republicans being asked, right?
Yeah, and then when you dig
come
in,
on, this is so lame. Come on, you know what? If you believe that the election was rigged, then say it. If you don't believe it, speak up for fuck's sake.
They said of the 15 House Republicans who recognized the true winner, which I guess would be Biden, 6 are retiring from politics at the end of this month. And 2 more represent districts that Biden won convincingly.
Oh, God.
I mean, he's the party. He's not going away. Trump is the Republican Party now, and he'll be back in 4 years.
Well, that may or may not be.
You don't think he'll be back in 4 years?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in 4 years.
I don't think he will. I don't think he'd win a primary. I don't think he'd win
a primary.
Oh, man. I think he would if they voted today. I think he'd win in a heartbeat, but I don't
know.
Today,
yeah.
I mean,
in four years,
I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, he could win overwhelmingly in 4 years for all I know.
You don't know who's going to be up against him, but I would not.
I mean, what if the stock market were 20,000 in 4 years or 22,000 in 3.5 years.
Yeah, well, then why wouldn't he win? He'd absolutely
I think he would win.
Even if it's 40.
I mean, I don't know that, but I just think there's so many things that could happen.
70 million people still voted for him.
Yeah, 74 million, I think, isn't it?
It's not simply because he's the Republican candidate.
He had the second most votes in the history of
That's right.
people running for president. And, you know, whereas polls said he was going to lose by 8 to 10 points, he was pretty darn close. And pretty darn close in a lot of states, too. I mean, just it could have been different. I don't believe the election is rigged. I don't believe anybody in this country can pull off a conspiracy of that nature. I really don't.
Exactly, yeah.
Not quietly, anyway. Somebody would surely be spilling it somewhere. And I know a lot of people disagree with me. But I'll say it again.
If I'm wrong, I can go to prison.
I said it the other day. If someone would put this in front of us and show us where this all went south.
Open your eyes, man. Stop looking at Fox.
Yeah, I got a guy who tweets me, or who sends me tweets every day that proves it.
What's the latest?
What did he send? Tell me what he sent you, because I'll look at it.
Oh, okay. First of all, everything Sidney Powell. Everything Sidney Powell.
What do you mean, everything Sidney Powell? Sidney Powell's been, the Republican Party is, or Trump has separated himself from Sidney Powell.
Yeah.
Let's see. Whoever Kyle Becker is on Twitter, I guess he completely broke the news that Trump's going to win this election. Aaron J. Carpenter on Twitter. I don't know. It's all these people I've never heard of, and I get these nonstop tweets, and it's just like, stop sending me this political bullshit. It's stupid. It's just people bitching at each other. It's stupid. Oh, and breaking news from Major Patriot.
Well, as I said, and I'm not even going to respond to people that say, you don't read anything. You're unprepared. You only watch the mainstream media. I read a lot of things. I read a lot of things I don't want to read, too, because I find them ridiculous. And I get sent stuff all the time, and I don't read all of it. Some of it I do read. And I just think they have poorly – if there is evidence that this election was rigged, they've done a poor job of marketing the evidence. Because you have to market the evidence.
How dare you?
I mean, am I wrong about that?
No.
Don't you have to market – if you're trying to get something, if you're trying to get a lot of people to agree with you and prove something, you have to somehow show it to people and explain to them why it is that you're saying this. And
that's just a tactic, folks.
I have not seen it. And and now Rush Limbaugh is an asshole, too, and he hates Trump. And I get that. But when I heard Rush Limbaugh say that, I thought that was pretty indicative of the same thing I'm going through. Is that I'm interested. If this happened, of course I want to know about it. But if it didn't happen,
Did you ever see the interview Chris Krebs gave on 60 Minutes? You know, of course, he's the big enemy now. He's the former director of the cybersecurity infrastructure. He's the one in charge of elections in the department that Trump himself created.
Uh-huh. So I didn't see the interview.
It's a fascinating interview, and he's the one that said this has been the safest, most secure election.
Well, you're just watching the mainstream media. That's why you think that.
This is the guy that's in charge of the agency that Trump
created. He's on the mainstream media, though, so it doesn't count.
So they change his words?
No, I'm kidding.
But anyway, he was saying that 95% of these votes are on paper ballots. 95%. So I'm sitting there going, okay, put them all in a big stack and just count them all one by one. Because will that satisfy anybody? Is that going to satisfy anybody?
Probably not.
Just to have a single one.
No, I don't. I think there's a lot of people who are just not going to believe it.
Do it on a webcam.
People in my neighborhood who still have huge Trump signs waving.
That's okay.
Flags, signs, and stuff. It's just they're not giving up on it yet, until January.
And that's okay. I don't really have a problem with that. If you really believe that, I would expect you to do nothing less. And in fact, in a lot of cases, you're doing more than most people would do. So there's nothing wrong with that. If you believe that.
But you got to be open to being wrong.
Well,
Lord knows I am.
I absolutely agree that you should be open to the possibility that you're wrong, and sometimes it's hard to do.
A couple notes on that, by the way. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation is a nonprofit but is not tax exempt. But then underneath them, they have what are called I forget exactly what this is called, but fiscal sponsorship. So they have nonprofits underneath them that basically take that money and then dole it out. So it is really confusing how they do that.
That's all I could gather from it was that the people who really wanted to either expose it or show that they approved of it or that there was a reason to approve of it found themselves very short of information.
And in regards to the people protesting the election, they're protesting in front of Jocelyn Benson's house tonight.
Oh, God.
You can watch it live on Facebook.
Whatever. How many people are there?
I think the story said a dozen. Yeah, a couple dozen, so it could be 24.
I just think that's just bullshit. It's sort of like attacking people at restaurants. I just don't like it at all.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's only a dozen. I'm always afraid it's going to be, a couple hundred, and they're going to scare the shit out of people. Yeah. And if people have a right to go home at the end of the day... unless you think Jocelyn Benson is really trying to commit horrible, horrific crimes. And, maybe she's just wrong.
If that's the case, she's doing an amazing job covering it up.
Yeah. I keep saying, by the way, because, there's been a lot of stuff that's gotten in front of judges. And there's still an insistence that it's part of the conspiracy. There's a lot of red judges. There's a lot of blue judges.
Watching Rudy on who's the guy on Fox at night? I mean, I know they hate Trump.
Tucker Carlson?
No, the other guy.
the other guy that hates Trump?
Yeah, who's the other guy that really hates Trump? He's on at, 9, 10? The other guy. What is his name? He used to host another
Sean Hannity?
Sean Hannity. So Giuliani was on Hannity go, we don't even need the courts. And he's like, what? So we don't need the courts. It's the legislature that decides who to put forth for the Electoral College. It's like, well, why are we wasting all our time with this?
What is Sean Hannity's view of this as it stands right now? Is he fully in support of this effort?
Well, he hates Trump, clearly. So.
Does he think the election's rigged?
You know what? I don't know. I don't watch him enough to know.
I haven't been watching lately, honestly. I've been completely staying away from
I think he's looking for evidence, too. So.
Well, it's frustrating if you, you know, because you hear the same thing over and over and over. And by the way, you know, we've been told for months that this election was rigged. I don't know why the person who's in charge of the country doesn't do more to unrig it. If it was so rigged for all that time, I mean, there are people who can do things to unrig things. But I guess
that's exhausting.
And that's the nature of the conspiracy. Yeah, it is.
A couple dozen people really mad at us.
It is exhausting. And I tell you what, you know, it's unfortunate, too, that that I just veered far from this Bill Clinton story because it's really fucking interesting about this Doug Band guy.
Well, he got in a fight with Chelsea, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He did. That's where this is going. You know, here the Clintons are out, and a lot of people have criticized them for selling the presidency, and him really more than her. And in fact, in 2008, Hillary Clinton's people were very angry at Bill Clinton because they felt that Bill Clinton had completely whored himself out and really had no defense whatsoever. He had befriended all these Wall Street people, all these CEOs, all these billionaires. They had all dumped tons of money on the Clinton Foundation.
Follow the money.
And somehow, by 2008, the Clintons' net worth was $109 million. and these are people who have said they're poor people from Arkansas for a long, long time. And Hillary Clinton's people are like, God damn it, Doug. You know, you're supposed to rein him in. You're supposed to control Bill Clinton. What the fuck are you doing? And then
he says, I work for Bill, not you. Get the fuck out of my office.
Pretty much. Then, on top of that, Bill Clinton says some things during the 2008 campaign that really upset Hillary Clinton's people because he was very critical of Obama. And, you know, as it turns out, and this is according to Doug Band, and not just Doug Band, Bill Clinton did not like Obama. He didn't like him. I almost felt like something in jealous.
Was there something in South Carolina?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Still was. And Obama suggested
there's a lot of this in the game in Game Change, that book. God, yeah. I'm trying to think.
Obama was accused of Bill Clinton was accused of being racist.
That's
and
right.
Hillary Clinton was accused of being racist by Obama, and Bill Clinton just lost his shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and then
that's when Hillary started the whole birther thing. No, I'm serious.
It got really messy. Yeah, and it just didn't work out too well. She lost. And so Bill Clinton goes back on his merry way, and Hillary goes from, this is another thing that got real tricky, and it's fun to read about this, because you don't think about these people fighting among themselves. You think they're all part of this conspiracy or this, okay, they're part of a team. Some people may say conspiracy. I would say, in a weird, slightly disconnected way, they're part of the same team. Obama wants her to be Secretary of State. She does not want to be Secretary of State. She doesn't really like Obama.
Yeah.
And Doug Band got all this credit for sort of greasing the wheels to allow her to be Secretary of State. Like, Hillary, come on, you really think about this. Well, this inflames Hillary Clinton and her people. Doug Band had nothing to do with it!
Oh, give me a break.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very angry at this suggestion. So...
Have a little, be a little happy that he went out on the.
You know, it seemed to me like it was a good thing for her.
Yeah,
it's a
very prestigious job.
Absolutely, no, it helped her a great deal. She would never have been the nominee in 2016. In my opinion, if she didn't take the path she took,
until she brought out that reset button. Remember that? I don't think Obama knew she'd be a prop Secretary of State.
So. While all this is going on, the money just keeps pouring into the Clinton Foundation. It keeps pouring into the Global Initiative. And Bill Clinton doesn't even have a cell phone. He doesn't use a cell phone. All of it goes through Doug Band.
Wow. He doesn't even know what Friends is.
That's right, Brandon.
What's that?
He doesn't even know what Friends is.
No, he doesn't know what Friends is. And Bill Clinton, and that's part of Doug Band's job in 2001 when Bill left the presidency was... What's going on in the show, Friends? Everybody's talking about. And Doug goes, well, there's three girls and there's three guys. Sort of them all live together. Will they live together? Like, are they getting it on? Or what's going on? No, they're not really, but there's a little flirtatious behavior, and they go to this coffee shop. And
people got big tits.
People just go to coffee shops and, I mean, just hang out, or what do they do there?
Yeah, in Harlem, Bill, where your office is going to be.
But at least Kudrow was hot. Actually, they were all
really
hot.
She was like third okay. place.
I liked her. I thought she was hot.
Yeah, definitely third place in that group.
Ooh, wow. Lisa Kudrow. Really?
Oh, yeah, fourth God. After Joey, really.
Because Aniston to me... Aniston is such a phony fake. I mean, she's such a drag.
Still hot.
She's hot, I know, but if you got to listen to her.
Hmm? What'd you say, Brandon?
Why is she phony?
Well, without getting into a great deal of information, have you ever heard her interviewed? Do you listen to her much?
Yeah, I don't.
No, I don't watch her interviews, but I watch. I don't know. Like on social media, she's not annoying. Neither is Courtney
Cox. On social media, she might not be annoying, but she. One complaint that her boyfriends have had, and also people that know her, is that she always has to have lots of security, and she brings sort of a show with her everywhere she goes. In other words, if you want to go hang out with her, you know, you have to deal with her. She's sort of an entourage. She's sort of just a glom on of people. Because
not to mention, she was nothing before she got that nose job. She comes from acting royalty, right? John Aniston?
You know, it's royalty, but it's something.
My favorite Aniston story is
she hates her mom. She hated her fucking mom.
Yeah.
She sued her mom.
Well, mom
she didn't talk to her mom
did
for
write a
years.
Book.
Well, yeah. Her mom was kind of a bitch, too. But honestly, you know, where it originally started was her mom gave a couple pictures to someone she was doing an interview with. And Aniston apparently was livid because she didn't like the pictures. They weren't good pictures of her. And that was like they didn't speak for months after she gave these pictures. I mean, really?
My favorite Aniston story is how Justin Theroux broke up with her like a week before she was going to the wedding of Amy Schumer. To which I speculated, well, that's why he broke up, or they just didn't want to go to the wedding.
I know.
Blame him.
I've heard about
it's good play.
Howard Stern is friends with her now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He went to Cabo or something with her in some group, and I'm like,
yeah, he's
sounds...
in Hollywood.
He really? No, he's gone.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Way Hollywood. I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, thank God he was able to explain Friends to Bill Clinton. I'm sure it took a long time, but everybody watches this on Thursday night, really? So... Doug Band is this incredibly powerful person now, and Bill Clinton is traveling all over the world raising money, and also because people want his help, because he has all these millions at his they've raised $70 billion.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton doesn't like to travel on commercial, and for some reason, and I'll never understand this, Bill Clinton didn't have his own private jet.
That's right.
I don't get it. Why does he not have his own private jet?
He didn't have his own phone.
Well, that, yeah. I mean, that's different.
I don't know how these things work.
So, traveling with Doug Band all over the world, essentially what Doug Band does is he calls somebody with a private jet and says, Bill's got to go here. You know, can we use your jet? And, of course, there are lots of people who would love to rend Bill Clinton their jet because, you know, just like the $70 billion that he raised, and all these people want things from Bill Clinton. So, well, Ron Burkle, billionaire Ron Burkle, he's a supermarket guy. He loves loaning Clinton his private jet, and he does. And he likes going on the trips, too. And he likes really young girls. In fact, on this one trip they described, Ron Burkle brought his girlfriend, who was 19. Ron Burkle was 54, I think. And she had a couple of her good girlfriends. And some people thought, you know, that's really kind of untoward that the president shouldn't be with that group of people. And it was kept very quiet. And most of this was kept quiet. And if Ron Burkle, by the way, was busy and his jet was in business, then, well, he liked to call Stephen Bing, who had a private jet. And Stephen Bing inherited $600 million from his parents, and he was
spent
a playboy. And he liked Steve Bing liked young girls too, and he liked bringing girls along. And you know, this is kind of messy. And then Bing also sometimes could be real busy, and his jet could be busy. And so, well, Doug Band acknowledged that Bill Clinton liked to get a hold of Jeffrey Epstein because his private jet was usually available, and Jeffrey Epstein was always ready to go where Bill Clinton wanted to go. And Doug Band learned to dislike Jeffrey Epstein very quickly because Jeffrey Epstein made ridiculous claims. He said he claimed he invented derivatives.
What?
Yeah, he said he invented derivatives. Really? And he's not the only one who said that Jeffrey Epstein has said that. But he's very braggadocious. He likes very young girls, as we know. And a lot of these young girls would be stewardesses on the plane, or they would be there for whatever reason, including one masseuse by the name of Shantae Davies, who actually wasn't even finished with massage school. She'd gone to like two classes, and Ghislaine found her and said, oh my God, she's so hot, and she's in massage school. And the girl's like, I've only gone to a couple classes. And she's like, nah, you got to massage Jeffrey Epstein.
I mean, really, come on, how much more are you going to learn?
And so she took over Shantae Davies'
life. You either give massages or can't. It's not like it's a medical sports massage or no, anything, right?
I kind of thought that way myself, but I don't want to offend the people who do this professionally.
Well, I'm not offending. I'm just talking. I mean, like I said, it's not a physical therapy massage.
I think we can all applaud what Jeffrey Epstein did.
And the fact is, she was very young and she was very attractive. And Jeffrey Epstein didn't really want a massage. Well, he didn't want a massage, but he also wanted somebody who he could beat off in front of, which is what he liked to do. And he did that the first time this girl massaged him, and she was kind of surprised. But she ended up feeling that she couldn't tell Ghislaine because she thought Ghislaine was being so motherly to her that she didn't want to disappoint her by saying, hey, beat off when I was massaging him. What the fuck? So she's also paid very handsomely. She ends up going on a lot of these trips, too. And she also ends up getting raped by Jeffrey Epstein a couple times, which she also was somehow unable to communicate or extricate herself from. Or it's this whole messy scenario that we hear from so many of these women that get mixed up in this. She's also 20 years old. She's young and she's, you know, really confused by all this. Well, she goes on one of these trips with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton and Doug Band. And this was the last trip Doug Band went on with Epstein because Doug Band felt Epstein was bad news. He begged Bill Clinton to stay away from Jeffrey Epstein. This is also in the Vanity Fair story, which I can't tell you how fascinating it goes on and on and on. I'm still not done with it. But some of these pictures of her massaging Bill Clinton between flights, they had to refuel somewhere. And Bill, oh, my neck hurts. And Epstein's like, oh, yeah, Shantae's a masseuse, so she'll take care of it. Ugh. So he's sitting in his chair. I believe it's in this little tiny airport that they'd taken over, and she's massaging Bill Clinton's neck, and of course, Doug Band's like, oh, fuck, really? But Doug Band said that at this point,
hey, if you can't beat him, join him, Dougie.
Everyone looks delighted in the picture, by the way. She's happily massaging him. I don't think she ever issued any kind of complaint about Bill Clinton. Anyway, in the course of the story, Doug Band reveals that Bill Clinton did go to Pedophile Island.
Oh, really?
He did.
Oh, wow.
Doug Band didn't go, but Bill Clinton went.
Why was Doug on that trip?
Because Doug Band thought that Epstein was a really creepy guy, and he didn't want anything to do with him, and he didn't want Bill Clinton to have anything to do with him. But he more or less inferred that Bill Clinton just would not extricate himself from Jeffrey Epstein. Hmm. Now, the weird thing about the story is, this is Vanity Fair. This is a pretty solid publication. These have fact checkers and, you know, all those fancy schmancy people, and generally held in pretty high esteem, although they did a few things that some people disagreed with regarding Jeffrey Epstein, in fact, and some interviews they did a long piece on Jeffrey Epstein because they were trying to figure out, who is this guy Bill Clinton is constantly flying with, and he's going here and there? Who is this Jeffrey Epstein guy? Which is what a lot of people asked. And they got a little deeper than Jeffrey Epstein ever wanted them to, and Jeffrey Epstein started threatening them, and, you know, we're going to sue you, we're going to own your magazine, and he does seem to have a lot of money.
I was not a fan of his, that I can tell you.
He dropped names a lot. Hey, Bill Clinton is my friend, you know, you want us to sick this on you and that on you, and Trump is my friend, and, you know, this is in 2003, I think. So that was a big revelation in the story. That's what the New York Post, of course, picked right up, is that Bill Clinton, pedophile. And Doug Band is the source, and it's in Vanity Fair. Anyway, Google the story. You'll find that very few people are reporting this story, which I thought was like, well, the media's never been shy about saying, this guy says this, or this guy's in this book saying this. But all of a sudden, when it comes to Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein and Pedophile Island, there's something, some little line has been crossed, and it seems that many media outlets do not want to report on the story. Unless something's
changed. Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
Unless something's changed in the last 8 hours, and Google it, Brandon or Mark, or see if you see something I don't see, because I didn't see it. And I'm like, this is Vanity Fair. This is not that I'm dying to nail Bill Clinton to the cross or anything. I just thought it was weird that nobody was really reporting on it except the New York Post. So anyway, traveling along in the story, and I could take up 2 more hours of your time, but I won't, because, oh God, how long have we been going?
3 hours.
Yeah, fuck.
Three.
Okay.
I'll wrap it up.
It's midnight.
Practically. So, you know, AIDS, drugs in third world countries, and nobody fights climate change harder than the Clinton Foundation.
By flying everywhere.
Yeah, and I know, exactly. And on and on and on, by flying on private jets everywhere with Stephen Bing, Jeffrey Epstein, or Ron Merkel.
It's not my jet.
Yeah. I'm not leaving that carbon footprint. Damn that Jeffrey Epstein kid's doing it.
That plane would fly if I was on it or not on it.
The Lori Lightfoot theory. So, around 2011, you know, all this money is still pouring in, and it really doesn't seem to bother anybody. Now, I tend to notice that when a lot of money is pouring into anything, generally people get very interested. Where's the money going? What's being used for? What are people getting, especially with a political operation? And that's why...
Usually more a political operation than anything.
Yeah, it's more disturbing because... It's a political operation, and this guy's wife is the Secretary of State. And by the way, that was another thing that I thought found fascinating in the story, is that Bill Clinton and Doug Bann felt that the Obama administration was really trying to fuck them over when Hillary became Secretary of State, because all of a sudden they said, we got to know where you're going, anytime you're going, anytime you're speaking, anytime you're being paid, we got to know, because she's Secretary of State. Yeah. And also, we need a full list of your donors. Like, the list of our donors.
No, you don't.
That's 200,000 people. You kidding me?
That's too late.
I don't think we have that.
The money.
I don't think we have that list. And also some other things start.
It's on my cell phone. Oops, I don't have one.
Some other things come out around this time, too, that are a little iffy, because Hillary no longer likes Doug Bann at all. Hillary wants him out, because he spends too much time with Bill. He doesn't rein him in enough. And what exactly is his band character doing?
Well, he spends more time. She's right about the first two counts.
Yes. He spends more time with Bill than anyone, than her and Chelsea combined. And Chelsea seems to be jealous of Doug Bann, too. And the people describe it as she feels that Bill Clinton sort of adopted him as a son. Mm. And he loves him. And he spends all this time with him. And he doesn't spend time with Chelsea. And so there's kind of a jealousy
there's the rift, yeah.
So somehow... it comes out, I think it's Wall Street Journal did the story, actually, that Doug Bann had brokered this real estate deal, and this is related to the Clinton Foundation, that, and it's a kind of a shady Italian artist who they sort of describe as a con man almost, but he's got a lot of money, Ron Merkel, and a big Clinton Foundation donor to buy a piece of property that cost $100 million. And Doug Bann got a $200,000 finder's fee.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it, yeah,
pretty,
he did.
That's pretty sweet.
He did, because Doug Bann is now in this world of
highfalutin. He's the one connecting everybody, so yeah.
He's in this highfalutin world, and actually they said that it's really that unusual for something that costs that much money for someone to ask for, hey, you know, I'm the one to hook this thing up.
Good gig if you can get it.
And this Rolodex, the Clinton Foundation Rolodex, is so huge that Doug Bann, in fact, has started a company called Tenio, which I'll get to in a minute. And then... shortly after that happened, Bill Clinton had dinner with Doug Bann and the president of Kazakhstan.
Borat?
No, not Borat.
Oh.
But same country. I know. Immediately think of Borat. It immediately sounds so half-assed when it's the president of Kazakhstan. It's like, what does that mean?
Really, just because all we know of Kazakhstan is Borat.
USA! Do you love USA?
He is right there.
So this there's this this mining mogul, not just a successful mining guy, he's a mining mogul.
The named, Kazakhstan guy?
No, this this Canadian friend of Bill Clinton's named Frank Giustra. And
oh, is that the Italian guy?
No, this is a Canadian guy.
Oh my God, I'm so
he's
confused.
A mining guy. The Italian guy is an artist, actually.
That's right.
He's pretty shady
Forget
too. He's
about probably it.
This is a mining thing. His name's Frank Giustra. He gets a very lucrative uranium mining deal in Kazakhstan. And this is something that Bill Clinton apparently had lobbied for on his behalf with the president of Kazakhstan. And shortly after he gets this very lucrative mining deal in Kazakhstan, Frank Jester donates $31 million to the Clinton Foundation. $31 million.
Wow. He had the brain like a chicken.
That's pretty sweet. Good
and
for
this
him,
mining
man.
Deal works out so well, that Jester donates another $100 million to the Clinton Foundation.
I wish I had $100 million to donate.
I know. It's fucking amazing. And so,
insane amounts
of money.
As
I said, you know, people seem interested in
this.
Where
was George Soros in all of this?
You'd think he would be taking over Band's gig. Nobody really is that bothered. Now, the Wall Street Journal does this story about the finder's fee and this story about the Canadian mining guy. It comes out too, but really, the person who really starts bitching about all the money coming in is Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Because Chelsea Clinton, she joins the board at the Clinton Foundation, which is a pretty big position. She and Bill and
Chelsea
Hillary.
Clinton?
And this is sort of like her coming out party, like, I'm taking over everybody. And all of a sudden, people feel, and John Podesta has explained this and expressed this, that, Chelsea sort of started trying to bust people in the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah,
for
that whole WikiLeaks thing, right?
Yep.
Because that was all Podesta's emails.
Oh, yeah. And she thinks she's looking out for her dad, but she's really just, I think she just doesn't seem to like people who have too much power with her dad.
I believe that. Well, because he treated Band like a son.
And Doug Band admits that I really sort of misperceived this. I thought, I've gotten her concert tickets for so many concerts, and I get her restaurant reservations all the time at these great restaurants.
Name one other band that's done that.
And I've just made so many arrangements to pull so many strings for Chelsea Clinton. You know, she's in my corner. And he mentioned that the most recent thing he had done is that she had thrown a shit fit because a friend of hers had said that, hey, this Manhattan restaurant has a picture of you on their wall of fame. God. Because Chelsea ate there.
Yeah.
I guess she took a picture with the owner or the chef or somebody afterwards, or the owner and the chef. Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, put your pitch in the wall. It's really cheesy. It's in the Wall of Fame. So Doug Band is called by Chelsea. I want that picture down immediately. And so Doug Band, who says, I'm starting to feel like a glorified gopher every time I talk to Chelsea, because she wants me to do this, do that, do this, that.
Yeah.
Now I got to call some restaurant and tell him to get this fucking picture down, which really...
Even though he's like, I just made $200,000 on a fucking...
King in the castle, king in the castle. Go do this, go do this. King in the castle.
And by rights, you know, when you take a picture with a guy who owns a restaurant and the chef, you know what they're going to use it for. They want to put your picture in
the restaurant.
Yeah. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chelsea... I got to tell you,
it's her fucking problem.
She comes across so badly in the story. And granted, some of it is on Doug Band's words out of his mouth. I think he tries to be judicious, but it's not just him. It's a number of other people say the same things. So Chelsea, after she joins the board, are you still with me on this, or have I just completely dreamweavered the whole world?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Brandon's totally bored.
I'm wrapping it up. Chelsea meets with Doug Band, Bill Clinton's main man. The gatekeeper of the world. And Chelsea, Doug Band thinks he's just meeting with Chelsea, but no, Bill Clinton's at the meeting, and there's a couple other people he doesn't really know. And Chelsea demands advisory position. Oh, I'm sorry, I left something out. Doug Band has started a company called Tenio, which is an advisory company. It's like a consultant. I mean, the consultant to, first of all, many companies that give money to the Clinton Foundation.
He's basically incorporating himself in a
way. They see that, boy, this Doug Band really makes things happen. He's really slick. He's smooth. He, you know, look what he's done with Bill Clinton, whose approval rating is really good at this point. I mean, people are really liking Bill Clinton again. So people are very impressed with him. Not only are they hiring him to advise them and to broker deals, but it's also a private equity firm. And Tenio has a shit ton of money.
Wow.
A shit ton of money.
How much are they holding?
Well, Doug Band sold his majority share of equity in Tenio for, they believe it's somewhere near $700 million.
Ooh.
Yeah. Doug Band lived in the former home of David Rockefeller, which is worth $20 million. And they said that he was renovating it and spending quite a few million dollars renovating.
Sold.
So all this money, some of it has, yes, poured into Doug Band's pockets. And this company, Tenio, which Tenio gets these big advisory deals, some of them nothing to do with the Clinton Foundation, and he then hits some of them up for money to give to the Clinton Foundation. Oh. And there's people that give millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation.
It's his job.
And he says, hey, you know what? I got this company called Tenio, and we do this, this, and they go, yeah, you know, I really like this guy. I'll invest some money in Tenio. So it's this
$4,000.
It all works out pretty well until Chelsea decides that she doesn't like this. And Tenio also has someone on their board, their advisory board, by the name of Bill Clinton, who gets paid $2.5 million a year.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No,
for
no,
doing
not kidding.
What? For just not, being Bill Clinton?
For being Bill Clinton.
$500 billion.
It's a lot like that bullshit housing thing that guy put together when he hired Neil Bush to be on his board. And all those people
said,
I get money because Neil Bush was on it. I figured he vetted it all.
Yeah, or George Shultz being on Theranos' board.
Exactly.
Still my favorite example.
Except Bill Clinton probably knows Doug Band a lot better than those people knew Elizabeth
okay,
Holmes or that other asshole.
Fair enough.
So Chelsea meets Doug Band, and she says that she thinks she should have an advisory position on Tenio because a lot of those people that donate to the Clinton Foundation are also clients of Tenio. So she needs representation. And not only that, she thinks her husband should also be on the board.
Well, and so basically because she wants to be.
Because she wants to be. And because she's on other boards, including...
it's embarrassing.
I know. It's so embarrassing. She's on a board.
That's weird, man.
Barry Diller is a friend of Bill Clinton and also Hillary
TV
Clinton,
guy, yeah.
Very separately. And Barry Diller has a big digital company.
TV guy,
yes.
Did he work for NBC for a long time?
He's done a lot. He's a huge, he is a mogul. He's an entertainment mogul. He puts Chelsea at Hillary's request on his board for a $50,000 retainer. She gets $50,000 a year. And sounds, I'm not really sure what she did. It sounded like not much.
Sorry, he started Fox Broadcasting.
Among other things.
Yeah. That's the big one, yeah.
Chelsea also gets $250,000 in stock.
What?
Yeah. When she gets this advisory or this board membership. Well, by 2011, that stock is worth $9 million. And Chelsea Clinton's net worth is apparently around $30 or $40 million by this point. And Chelsea Clinton really hasn't done much. In fact, it turns out the NBC...
Well, remember Bill hasn't either, but...
Remember she was a reporter on NBC?
Yeah, terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a special... special assignment person or something. And they paid her $600,000 a year. It turns out they paid her $1.2 million a year. They didn't want people to know how much they were paying Chelsea Clinton. And Chelsea Clinton didn't want people to know how much
they were paying
her either.
Why would they pay her that much?
I have no... Because they wanted something! Because she was terrible. We saw her stories and we're like, what? When did she become a reporter on the network level? She also demanded drivers, security, private plane travel only, which NBC provided all of it. It's galling.
Do you think they got their money's worth?
No, I don't. I don't know what they got, though, but it didn't seem like it. He also pointed out that she's living in a $10 million apartment, and her wedding cost $5 million. $5
million. Yeah, but didn't they pay for it?
The Clinton Foundation, I think
it's Chelsea Clinton's Rock Center debut.
We're so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Back home in Arkansas for a story that's close to her heart. Rock Center with Brian Williams, Monday at 10, 9 central on NBC.
That didn't work out well. With Brian Williams, that makes it even
no,
worse.
No, it did not. So, anyway, I'm not going to finish the story. Maybe I'll finish it another time, but... The other thing that's a little bit interesting here at this point is that Chelsea Clinton is pretty good friends with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, really?
Yep, because Chelsea Clinton is borrowing the private jet occasionally, too.
So she wanted
And also a couple yachts.
Jesus,
apparently,
man.
Are also in the program. And
buy your own yacht.
We knew that Ghislaine Maxwell was at Chelsea Clinton's wedding. She was. She was Chelsea's guest.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bill and Hillary had no problem with it because Bill knew her very well, too. And, you know, I'm not sure how deep that connection goes, but there seems to be some financial relationship there. Anyway, Doug Band says,
do you think Jenna Bush, who's the Bush that's on the Today Show now?
It's Jenna, isn't it?
Do you think she gets paid nearly what Chelsea got?
I doubt it. I think she's good, though. She's much better than Chelsea.
Okay. I mean,
she's all right.
She didn't pay her dues either, but she's
no,
fine.
She didn't. But you know what? Jenna
much
Bush.
Better reporter.
The one thing about Jenna Bush is that I think she's likable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She
yeah,
seems
yeah.
very real, which yeah. is surprising that George Bush would have a daughter who's real, because they were portrayed as these terrible brats who sure. just went out partying all the time. She seems like a pretty nice chick.
Yeah.
I really don't have a problem with her. Of course, yeah, it's nepotism. Know. Of course it is. But at least she's somewhat likable. So anyway, Doug Band, in a ballsy move, says no. Because she was not qualified. And also, he felt that he was being shaken down by this brat who he used to get concert tickets for.
Did he say that in the meeting?
No. No, he didn't.
Because I just wonder if Bill went, oh, my cell phone's ringing. Oh, shit. I'm told I don't have one. He can't pretend that his cell phone's ringing to get out of stuff.
Well, this is the part that really was upsetting Doug Band. Doug Band said, it became apparent that Bill supported Chelsea. He wanted her to have this.
Really?
This gig. He wanted Mark, what's her husband's name? Mark Medavoy, Medavet or something.
Yeah.
He thought that, yeah, it'd be good for Mark too. And there's so much money. I mean, really, it's just a couple million dollars, you know. And she also, and this is the part that Bill Clinton liked the best, apparently, she felt that Bill Clinton was terribly underpaid.
Really?
As the advisory member at $2.5 million. I know. No, it's like.
You didn't do anything.
The numbers are so astounding.
You don't have a cell phone.
Well, Chelsea infers that all of the money comes from Bill Clinton and his connection to Bill Clinton. So, sure. So what the fuck?
I understand that logic, but at the same time, he has built this into a giant yes. money-making enterprise.
And one thing that Vanity Fair, I think, does a fairly good job of pointing out is that since this happened, and in around 2015, I'm skipping a big part, but around 2015, Doug Band becomes persona non grata
yeah.
because he has rejected Chelsea.
Oof.
And he has told her, there's no position for you. There's no position for Mark Medved. He does pay Bill Clinton more money, but Bill Clinton is basically forced by Chelsea to choose her or Doug Band.
Oh, my God.
And he chooses Chelsea. So at that point, the dogs are called out.
He's kind of fucked, isn't he? I mean,
my daughter dumped me.
Well, that's the part. Yeah, I guess he has no choice. But that's the part where what interested me was the assessment. In the story, that Doug Band has continued to have great success, that he, in spite of a lot of dogs being called up by Hillary Clinton, it sounded like, in many cases, and also Chelsea Clinton, that he's a bad guy, don't do business with him, he's an asshole.
Wow.
He has made enough of a name for himself that he's continued to be a huge success in his endeavors.
He's bad.
But he has not spoken to any Clinton in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Well,
it's
he can't
weird.
Call Bill.
No, he can't.
I don't even have a cell phone. I'm kind of digging this movie. That's my favorite part about the piece is that Bill doesn't have a cell phone.
I know. I thought that was kind of cool, too. I liked him for it.
He's sitting on a board making $2.5 million. They go, hey, Bill, can you dial up, blah, blah. Nope.
I don't have a phone. Meanwhile, Doug Band has 3 Blackberries he carries at all times with all of Bill Clinton's bullshit on them.
Hey, Bill, I'll text that to you. No, you can't. Bill, I'll send it to your email. I don't have a computer or a phone. That's brilliant.
All right, hit the outro. I don't know if we'll ever get to the end of the story. I think I pretty much covered it.
What a smart.
It only took an hour.
What a smart, smart man.
Yeah, but, you know, and let me know. If I'm wrong, I want to know. I just saw it seemed like there was sort of a media blackout on the story. It was like,
I looked
there's
it up.
A New York Post all by themselves again.
Post, Fox News, and OK Magazine. I mean, specifically about the Epstein thing. It's
right. That's the only part of the story they pick up. That's the only people reporting on it at all.
No, there's other places that picked up mainly about how Doug Band had to confront Bill Clinton about his philandering.
Oh, but well, I didn't even get into that part.
The part I searched was specifically about him going to Pedophile Island.
Right, which is a New York Post headline, which is a New York Post job,
sure.
is to pluck out the one headline in the story, and that is a headline, is that he went to Pedophile Island, because he has claimed...
But Ghislaine's claimed that before, too, so I don't know.
Bill Clinton's claim, though, he doesn't say it, but the foundation says he has been on Epstein's plane 4 times. He went to Africa, he went to here, he went to here, he went to here.
Really?
And the flight logs say 26 flights... But it's believed that he was on many more than 26 flights.
Really, the headline in all of the papers should be that Bill Clinton didn't and does not have a cell phone. That should be the thing.
I'm sure somebody will get it out there. But again, it's this, you know, it's a selective business of editing. It's not such a great story. It's a great story. In fact, here's the headline. We think this is the headline. I don't know. But it's a really fascinating story if you like this sort of thing. It's in the new Vanity Fair. Mr. Doug Band, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hoo-ah!
April 12th, the Fox Theater will rock! Live, in concert, from the bowels of the left, it's the Clintons, A Conversation.
I want you to listen to me.
I'm back!
With special guest,
the team captain, Steve Azerman, and all the Red Wings.
And
Senator John Kerry!
The Clintons! Live with the acoustics only the Fox Theater can provide.
G-O-V-N.
The Clintons play all the greatest hits April 12th.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And
you know, I'm not sitting here as some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette.
April.
He's written a lot of books about business. They all seem to end at chapter 11.
Tickets range from middle-class prices of $99 to $10,000 for a quick selfie and a get the fuck out of here.
Follow the money.
All proceeds go directly into the pockets of the Clintons. Live in concert at the Fox Theater, April 12th. April. Their only Detroit area concert.
Sounds like we've got some Wayne State Warriors here today. Yay!
Tickets on sale now.
Ha 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 ha!